Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, I stopped smoking cigarettes.
Oh, good.
Isn't that something? I'm on to cigars now. Yeah, I'm on to a 5-year plan. I eliminated the cigarettes, then I go to cigars, then I go to pipes, then I go to chewing tobacco, then I'm on to that nicotine gum. Yeah.
Money. I'll leave you blank checks.
Oh, no. Please, I've got lots of money. I won't have any problem cashing a second-party out-of-state paycheck, will I? The reason I'm saying is I've been so busy lately, I haven't been able to do my banking, and I don't think it'd be a problem. Don't worry
about
it.
Let me just leave you the checks.
Well, only if it's comfortable for you.
That'll be easier.
I guess, sure. Do you have a plunger here? While I'm thinking of these things for the morning, you know, my plumbing is just so bad. Well, of course, yours is a good plumbing here, right? Yeah, I would imagine. Yes, don't worry about it. You know, everything will be fine. Just been bound up lately. It's driving me crazy. I've been eating a lot of cheese for some reason. I don't know what it is. I got a craving for the stuff. Think maybe that's an allergy or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't get enough cheese. I feel like a big mouse.
This you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. He's a... should not say he's Jacko. I'm not a Jacko. I'm Jackson.
How do you feel when they call you...
Wacko Jacko. Where'd that come from? Some English tabloid. I have a heart and I have feelings. I feel that when you do that to me. It's not nice. Don't do it.
Mike, there's a whole lot of people that want to draw the comparison between one of the all-time great Jet quarterbacks, Joe Namath, and Chad Pennington. What impresses you about Chad?
I believe everything that anyone else has watched Chad play... impresses me the same thing right. Impresses them. He's a quality, classy quarterback that has a touch on the football. He's
all right.
A thrower. He's a passer. His mind is ahead of what the defense is. And
all
if
right.
The Jets can support him, they will win the championship.
All right.
Joe, it's been a tough season for Jet fans. What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
All right.
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less
right.
About the team struggling. What we know is we can improve. Chad
right.
Missed Chad Pennington, our quarterback, missed the first part of the season, and we struggled.
All right.
We're looking to next season. We're looking to make a noise now, and I want to kiss you.
All right.
Joe,
yeah!
Huge
compliment. You know what? Joe Namath, part of the Ford decade team. We'll see these guys in halftime. All right. Jersey. Joe's just a happy guy.
Isn't he?
Just a happy guy.
Oh, boy, is he happy.
All right. Boy, am I in love. I think about my life in place. Yes, 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 yes. Everybody's got a laughing place. A laughing place.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
The Don and Mike Show.
And then I sat and really worked it.
I'm on my second beer.
Yeah, right. I'm pulling your way.
Wait a minute. I'll drink to that.
Hello.
Oh, hi there.
Hello.
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 to the best of Don and Mike, Bo Dam, another edition of Bo Dam for you today, best of Don and Mike, coming to you on this gorgeous, gorgeous Thursday afternoon here. Finally, finally, on the Mid-Atlantic, we have some decent weather. Not too hot, not too rainy. I'll take it. Hope the weather's good where you are today. I'm your host, legendary Joe Arnger, with you. And we've got another heap and steam and plate full of festa for you, Don and Mike, returning Tuesday, July 11th. So we just got a couple more days here, but I tell you what, they are good ones. So let's get right into it. I told you it was good. It's always good when it's B.A., it's the soap opera, and then, of course, there's always got to be an asshat caller. It's the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Okay, now, I'll tell you something there's not anything wrong with. Somebody there's not anything wrong with. Beth Ann McBride.
Couldn't agree more.
Beth Ann McBride. Good music it is. I do have some news. Beth Ann and I met before the show today. I'd like to tell you, yeah, that's right, Rob, one of those meetings. I'd like to tell you my version of what happened.
And then she'll tell us hers.
Yeah, I think that she just doesn't want to be as harsh on the fellow as I am.
Okay.
Now,
something's happened. There's a development.
Oh, yes, Mike. Something's happened. Hold on. Where's my development thing? Oh, where's the other one? Oh. Mike, something's happened.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, she's talking to me before the show today, Beth Ann. Now, it's a throwaway thing, just have a date with Beth Ann.
Right.
It was something we thought we'd get some funny emails. As it turns out, because she'll do anything for the show, she was really going to go in on a date and meet this guy from Reno. And the more that we talked to him on the radio, the more it became apparent that the guy's a radiophile,
mm-hmm.
that he's a big fan of the show, and he made all kinds of references to things that had happened years ago.
Sure, and whether the guy was right for her or not, that was an undisputable truth that he was a radiophile.
And I said to Beth Ann before the show today, after she told me some of this latest, well, for instance, here's a conversation she told me she had with him last night after he was on the air with us yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
She said, hi, and he said, I really won them over. And she said, won who over? Don and Mike, especially Mike, because of his crap detector. Mike didn't believe me, but now he believes me. That's a big win for me.
This is a quote from this guy.
Yeah. Then Beth Ann,
it's a little odd.
Another thing Beth Ann said that the guy mentioned, she says, okay, I'll pick you up at the airport. I have a Volvo, a blue Volvo. And he says, did you know that Don had a Volvo before you ever worked at the station? Don had a Volvo that got him into a lot of trouble. The car was always falling apart.
Did you have a Volvo?
10 years ago. And the guy had the story right.
Yeah.
It was the one where the engine locked up on the thing and Volvo didn't want to do anything about it. And then she said
Oh, that's right, you did have a Volvo.
She goes to the email and she has an email from the guy and it says to Beth Ann McFay. And she doesn't understand it.
Uh-huh.
She opens it up and sees that he's taken Beth Ann's picture and photoshopped Tina Fey's eyes and glasses on it because we've said on the air before that she's wearing her Tina Fey glasses.
So the cutting has already begun.
Yeah.
So he is into the show.
A little too much.
Yeah.
So I said, and then she said,
you can never be too much involved in
and
this.
Then she mentioned to me, she said that, yeah, the guy's a big radio fan. As a matter of fact, there's some other show in Reno, and this I don't care about it, but it just goes to show about the being the radiophile, that whenever there's a question about a movie on the show,
mm-hmm.
this guy goes to the computer right away, and he can get right through other request lines, and he's the first guy to tell them, you know, who played the girl in the third row in Bull Durham.
Okay.
So the more she's telling me this, the more I'm looking at her, I'm saying, really? I don't think the guy's going to cut her into little pieces, but this is not what we had planned for Beth Ann, that she's going to meet with some uber fan of this show.
Well, it's not our fault. It sounds like he wants
she's
to get
the one that, like,
and
plunged in and
dove into this relationship.
And this is what's weird, that, this is hello, hi, B.A.
Hey.
Hey.
And that's exactly, you know, what I said to Don in the office. I mean, I've gone right up to the line.
Well, look, come in here.
Okay.
Come in here. So she wants to still do it, right? And I'm saying to her, I don't feel comfortable with you going to the airport. And, you know, I guess the whole thing about going on a date was like a funny thing. And if it was a guy who was maybe even appeared to be halfway normal.
Right.
But the guy's calling you at all hours of the night.
I don't take credit for ideas, but this was my idea. And when I said this, I thought my vision was really seriously getting like you out for a social evening, but also if it was somebody that you dug and you enjoyed the company of, you know, who knows?
Right.
But
right.
The thing about it, as soon as this, you dove into this situation.
I was wrong. I mean, I had to tell him before the show, because when Don brought this up, I said the right thing to do is to tell him.
Now, you want
to
know the weirdest part about this? Okay. So Beth Ann and I are in agreement. The guy is, you know, maybe a borderline nut job. Like, maybe he has the potential to be like the guy that, the woman that used to break into David Letterman's house.
Right. I think that would be certainly a stretch, but he is a radiophile.
Yeah.
And if we had been doing the contest, do not agree that as soon as there was the slightest inkling of radiophilia,
right,
we would be, you know, a year out of there.
I said to Beth Ann, just tell him to screw off. If you've got a problem, he can call us. He'll probably get his nut anyway by being on the radio. I mean, that's probably what'll do it for him. And she was almost crying. She said, I
want to do the right thing.
Okay.
And I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Well,
because
his feelings are hurt now.
I know that. That's why I had to call him first before the show began.
Hold on a second. Hold on, please. And I said this to Beth Ann. What am I going to say? No offense. I mean, I don't care if I offend the guy. We're not talking about a real person. We're talking about some schmuck behind a computer. We're talking about a schmuck behind a computer in Reno who calls a radio show, listens to it compulsively, has a contest.
Nothing wrong with listening to it compulsively.
I agree, Mike, but he went a little too far. How many phone calls and emails?
You know, but I did call. Don't you understand? I'm like 75% of this. I never should have picked the person. I just should have had you guys pick it.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong, and I just should have worn a yellow dress on a date with somebody that you picked. And I was wrong, and if I hurt anyone's feelings, I feel bad because I didn't mean to.
Well, where does it stand now?
But it did disturb me, if you recall, that any conversation we had always went back to something on the show or something about the show.
Yeah.
And if it was before me, I didn't get it.
So you didn't pick up on this. And you know why you got yourself into trouble? Because you didn't let...
You guys.
You didn't let us handle.
My two dads.
You didn't
right.
let,
I know, I was
you,
wrong.
You didn't let us handle because, I mean, when we were going to do the contest, we were going to screen, and you obviously would have final word on it. But we were going to say, here are some candidates, and then it would be kind of a discussion.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way you wanted to do it?
Correct. And you're so gung-ho about this, Beth Ann, that you got this guy who turned... You know, I mean, 3 days ago I said to you in private in the office, a little scary. A little scary on these phone calls.
I don't think this guy's a nut. I don't think
Neither
this do guy's a... But I think he is, like a lot of people, totally into the show. And probably his whole reason for this is because it involves the show.
Bingo.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not going to be necessarily something that's going to be super fun for
and
you.
Here's the thing. I don't want to... I said this to Beth. I wouldn't want to make someone that I don't like do this. I wouldn't want to... You know, it's like, in essence, saying, if Dennis had both of his arms and if Dennis's mouth was okay...
Right.
Really, would any of us want to spend a day with him?
Probably not.
You know, or
but he has spent the night in my home.
Well, you paid off a bet, though.
Yes, and we've had Tom Gavin bets. And this guy would be, if he was local and he came around to a lot of functions,
he might be
part of a bet.
Right. Or he might be one of those that we have to keep an eye out for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's always that potential.
Or completely.
Or none of the above. Mm-hmm. He could be perfectly normal.
Right.
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 He's into the show. And and that could be, I mean, there are guys like that. There are guys that are into the show and they're completely normal. He is, however, an active listener.
Right.
In the purest form, where he wants to get very involved in the show. So how did your discussion go with him?
He was very nice. And he said he just wanted to know, you know, if it was, because I said I wanted to still do it and you did not want me to do it.
Correct.
And he just wanted to know that it was you and not me.
Yeah, great. So come after me with the kitchen knives, okay?
No, I mean...
I'm talking to him, not to you.
He could not have been nicer to me.
So it's not happening then?
No,
I asked him, do I owe you money for the plane ticket from Reno to Vegas?
Yeah, that's right. You should play
for his plane. Here's the most important part.
What?
Does that mean the contest is still open?
Yeah.
And that some people that are not radio guys that just really, really wanted to maybe have a nice date?
I should tell you that in a moment of privacy, Beth Ann did request that we maybe slow down on this a little bit.
Yeah, just let me work. I love this.
I think it's taken a bit out of her, Mike. She's pretty... Mike?
Needs a breather.
Mike, now...
fine. Fine, fine. Happy. Go back. Go back to what you've been doing. Yes. Go back. Plunge into your work. Live a life of loneliness. Absolutely.
I'm not lonely. That's it. I'm happy.
Just be completely without companionship.
I have a dog. Spend
the rest of your days until you are gray with that dog of yours.
Well,
because your daughter will grow up and she will have a relationship and then she will move out.
It's a relationship now.
That's right. She will move out, though. It's going to happen.
I can only pray.
Really?
Yeah, when they get to be 20, 19, 20.
I just thought
time.
It would be nice.
I know, and I do appreciate.
So now your wishes have come true.
What wishes are they?
The contest is gone. It's all over. No date. Nothing to worry about. No responsibilities of being with a normal man for an evening of conversation. Now you don't have to worry about it.
Now, you said you would go out with the psycho guy, and I said, really? And Mike, don't you agree about this guy? Okay, hold on, Beth Ann.
I don't think he's psycho. I don't think
he's psycho either. I think he's a radiophile. That's mm-hmm. it. And you know what? Radiophiles, the worst thing, really, you go on a date with this guy, and it would probably be, it would go back to the show, and that would be very tedious for you. He's into the show. I'm not going to slice the guy's
And here's
psycho.
The thing, not to make it about us, although isn't it fun to always make it about us? I can picture you're in the car, and after driving for 10 minutes, he's like just staring at you once he gets done looking at you, and then it's like, so,
where's Dante?
What time do they come in to work every day? do you bring them? What kind of stuff do they like during the show?
We got a tremendous amount of response on this little contest, didn't
we? Yeah, we got about, I think, almost 1,000 emails just for Beth Ann.
And you requested that we slow down on this.
Please.
Yeah.
Well, we'll bring it back, Mike. We'll bring it back.
Possibility?
She has needs.
Possibility. And this time... I'm telling the webmaster. Don't even let me know. You pick them.
You know what? We will do a good job.
Uh-huh. Very well.
I mean, it might not be great. You know, you can never really anticipate what relationships are going to be like or right. what even a date's going to be like. But I bet if we put all of our minds to it, we'd be able to come up with somebody that was like kind of okay.
And you know what? This is good.
It's kind of okay.
That's good.
What?
It frees up some time for that married guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
That's gonna be, how convenient is that, huh?
You're going to be seeing him next weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, see these? Oh, yeah. Yeah, here you go. Snip, snip, no strings. Bye. Have a nice time. Hope your mother's okay. We'll see you same time next year.
Beth Ann, it's just for your own good.
I know.
Really, I'm just looking out for you. I'm not trying to be a jerk here.
I know.
Oh, and I was... this was done out of, you know, my desire to have you have a nice date with somebody, right?
Right.
Thank you.
Who do we have here?
There's one lucky lady on my...
Hold on, Miss Congeniality, you have to think. Hello.
Hello, Baboo.
Hi, baby.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I know of another girl that needs to meet somebody.
Who?
My mom.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, like
this?
My mom, too, okay?
Stop this.
That's gross.
No, wait, she has her picture on the website now. Did you know I did that?
Oh, God, you put it in the website. God, oh, no!
Yeah, it was in my little thing that
Christ
I was like.
Christ!
Yeah.
Carrie's picture's on the website, too.
What?
Carrie's picture's on the website, too. I mean, as long as we're shopping them out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Jesus.
I mean, she doesn't know that.
No.
She's been like Beth Ann.
Yeah, listen, okay. I tell you what, if the guy from Reno wants to come out and date my mother-in-law,
he would.
I'll pick you up.
You don't want that.
I'll pick you up at the airport, dude. I'll be there tomorrow morning.
I bet he'd do that.
I know he would.
Yeah, especially if Don picked him up at the airport. Hi, Don. We don't need to see her yet.
All right, baby. Goodbye.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Jesus.
Interesting.
Yeah. A picture of my mother-in-law on the website? Ay, ay, come on. The website's great. I'll tell you, the part about the website...
Did she go to the same photographer we all went to?
No, I think this was when they were out of town a couple of days ago.
Like,
is it tasteful?
Is it the one on the motorcycle?
I believe it's erotic. I guess two of them posing together, actually.
Oh, a mother-daughter thing.
Yeah, like a Playboy thing.
Wow. That's
yeah. I'm not really sure. You know, listen, you can have it one of two ways. My wife is very busy now. She works. She's got a ton of crap going on in her life. She can either call the show every day and yell at me, or, you know, she can write her 18 paragraphs a week on the website. That's That's how I look at it.
Is the picture anything like this picture in Us magazine that I was looking at of Paris Hilton?
What? Let me see.
This is the style that I would go with. I just think it's good, and now I'm not going to be able to find it.
Let me just say, if it's slutty, it's my mother-in-law.
Does it look like that hamburger ad?
It's Jessica Alba. I'm sorry. Is it like this?
Just like that, Mike. Just like that. She's pulling the straps from her bra. That's exactly the picture. That's exactly it. That's
like I said, tasteful.
Really great. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
RG.
Hello.
Joe, is that you?
Yes, this is Joe. Ardinger here.
No, it's not. Who is it?
Come on,
here's
dummy.
The one of Rita and your mom.
Dummy?
Right here.
Who's that? Who's that?
Mindy Driver and her sister. And then I didn't mean the one of Paris Hilton.
Okay, now that's a picture of Paris Hilton
naked in a pickup truck.
Driving a pickup truck naked.
Oh yeah.
Except it's like tastefully done.
Yes, very tasteful. Very tasteful.
I am naked. How did you know that?
If you could
save for work,
if you can say that with Paris Hilton tastefully done. Hello.
Hello, Don.
Yes. Hi.
I'm on the air right now.
Yes, sir. Yes. Don't please don't make this a lockdown Friday.
Hey, listen, I hate Beth Ann. God, I think the best thing could have happened.
What is this?
Is this guy could have picked her up and chopped her into little pieces.
What? Now, why that hatred?
Come on. She's a sweet girl.
You like her.
Oh, she sucks. I hate her.
Well, why? Why do you? Come on. She's done nothing to you.
The only thing she's done on this show that's been mildly amusing is the time she emailed Todd Hughes and called him an A-head, and...
An A-head?
An A-hole. A-hole. Anyway, we love Beth Ann.
Why the venom?
The only funny thing she's done on the show the whole time she's been there.
Okay, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you've said nothing in this phone call that's been remotely interesting or entertaining.
Or true. We like our producer.
She's great. She's the Uber producer.
She's a good producer, but she... She's a terrible air personality. And
yeah, you're right. And you, on the other hand...
You're Edward R. Murrow.
Hey, that's not my job. I'm just a caller.
Yeah, well, they're good callers and bad callers,
and
too.
Listen, man, I'll take it if someone calls and yells about me or Mike or Buzz. You know why? Because we're men.
Right.
But, I mean, you know what you are? You're a lady beater.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, you're a lady beater. You're calling up... How much of a man are you to call up and say a woman sucks? Really? Hello?
He had to go get his inhaler.
No, the line has not gone Gorshin yet.
Are you sucking on your puffer?
Hello?
That's right. Yes, I'm sucking on my puffer.
No, really?
No, come on. Apologize to Beth Ann.
Come on. You know, come on. That's like a... Guys don't do that.
Come on.
Come on.
I'm not going to apologize to Beth Ann. No, I figured
you'd say that, you know. Because you know what?
Because you're tough.
You are a definitive AH.
You're a tough guy.
You are an asshat.
You're a tough guy. I tell you what, if you were with her, you just might have to give her a little of the old, you know, five-finger discount, right? You know what I'm saying? Here, see my finger, see my thumb, see my fist. You better run.
Is there a woman in your life now, sir, or are they all buried in your crawl space?
You give her some of that, right? Am I right?
Oh, Mike.
Am I right?
Is there a woman in your life right now?
Yes,
answer
sir.
The question directly.
Yes, there is.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wife? Girlfriend?
Yes. Wife.
Wife? How many years married?
13.
13. This might be just taking his frustration out on his wife, on Beth Ann. That's what it might be.
Maybe so.
Regarding your wife, were you pleased with the job done by the taxidermist?
Hey, Mike, are you being my marriage counselor?
See, Rob, that's over his head.
Hey.
That's over his head.
Listen, asshat. All right, at least I don't sound like I have had some serious stroke before I've called the show, with my lips paralyzed. So you talk
like, okay. And for the last time.
Did you decide to call before or after your serious brain injury?
You dope. Hello? That's right.
He's composing.
I keep forgetting
his,
we have
his
to
thoughts.
Wait. We have to wait.
We have to wait while he thinks, while he tries to think.
He's staying on the line.
Here we go.
No.
Hey, here's
a
random
thought.
New thought. Done.
Okay, go ahead. What is it? Lay it on us.
Do you have, what's that guy's name? The other disc jockey's name who does the show without
sir,
a shirt on.
I have to ask you a question. Do you have, is there something wrong with you?
I wasn't expecting to get right through. I thought Joe Arden.
No, that wasn't my question. Is there something physically wrong with you?
Listen, Beth.
No, there isn't.
Beth Ann is great, and you're a,
sounds fine to me.
Beth Ann is great. You're a jerk. We'll defend her till the day we die.
Yep.
And only an ass would call in and say something like that. I mean, listen, don't you understand anything? There's a time and a place to yell at women. God knows that they have that time and that place. Yeah. This is not the time or the place, and you're not the man to do it, and you're not even a man.
And if there's nothing wrong with you, why are you speaking so slowly and processing your thoughts so slowly if there's nothing wrong with you?
That's just the way I am.
What do you do for a living?
I'm not telling you.
Now listen,
I dare you.
You seem to be a big man. You're not going to apologize. You don't want to talk about me being a marriage counselor. You're a big tough guy.
Let's just keep this with Beth Ann, because he's a big tough guy with Beth Ann. Criticizing Beth Ann at her job, you know, of which we think she's doing a fantastic job.
You guys never criticize women?
Yes.
I've been listening to this show for a long time.
Hey, you ass. I guess you're in some kind of haze. 5 minutes ago, I said there's a time and a place for that. I was actually trying to put a bit of levity into this, but you're so freaking stupid.
And what the hell is wrong with you?
You don't get it. Let me just tell you.
You've succeeded in getting us very angry.
What you said about Beth Ann.
I'm so angry.
We take offense to. Now, let me give you a proper usage of the kind of stuff you were saying.
Okay, teach me how.
Yeah, okay. You know who's a stupid bitch who deserves to die? Your mother. You know who did an awful job with the only job she had? Your mother. Really? I don't know how your mother got a job.
I kind of dig
being
his mother,
a mother.
If I can be honest with you, I kind of disagree with you there. I kind of dig his mother.
Well, Mike, that's you.
I mean, really, she when I shaved the back, she didn't even make a sound.
Yeah, still. Stay still.
There's a little drool, like there always is.
And you know what? I'll tell you what I like about her best. When she was bent over, and she stayed that way for a long time, I just put my ashtray right on her ass. And I said, sit. Or don't sit. Stay on all fours, just like that. I watched TV. And you know what was great? Occasionally, I would miss the ashtray.
Did you give her the biscuit afterwards?
Only if she was good, Mike.
There you go.
Only if she was good.
I hope it was the tartar control. You love the tartar control biscuit?
I think it was the peanut butter flavor one.
Oh, my God.
I know it's the one that... I always forget to give her the one that makes her teeth look better.
Well, neither one makes her breath any better.
But you know what was nice about her?
What's
she
that?
Really didn't sweat much for someone that was so fat.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, really nice.
Like I warned everybody, please don't break the seal.
Now, if there is... Oh, and we'll be playing that game. Don't break the seal. Incidentally, that's the same sound your mom made.
Hey, Don, have you talked to George McFly lately?
Shocker that you'd bring that name up.
Well, I think you better call him because I'm not sure how long Mike is going to be around driving his new motorcycle.
All right, now we're going to turn you into your peers. We're just going to be quiet and let you talk to your friends, your fellow listeners. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hi, you're on the air with this wonderful chap.
Hey, asshat, I want an apology now.
Who's this?
This is your dad. Apologize now. My little boy, you shutting down the show, you're slowing everything down. Rock the cradle, hang up, you fool.
Next caller.
Well said. Yeah. Was that next caller? Nice response.
Yeah.
Nice response. If only you could be as tough as you were when you were fighting a woman, Beth Ann.
So now he's talking about Beth Ann, but let me make no mistake. He's on me, boys. This is personal right now. He's brought the marriage thing up, and then now the motorcycle deal.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
This guy's an asshat.
He's here. You can talk to him.
But I love his mom because whenever I'm in Whoreville, she only charges $10. So I throw a C note at her.
Yeah.
And I'm good for at least a couple days.
Cheapest one in Whoretown.
I want to tell you something.
Who run Whoretown?
You know, is anybody old enough to remember that old McDonald's ad campaign? Change back for your dollar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Absolutely. With this guy's mom. Hello?
I love the way she made the change.
Greg? Gregory.
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on with this guy.
Yes, I think this guy's a tool, and I think Beth Ann has the prettiest voice in the world, and I'd love to see a picture of her.
Well, we've got a picture on the website.
And we're waiting for the response now from Harry Asma.
He's too busy processing his limited thoughts.
Now, oh, he's turning his radio up now?
Yeah, that was him listening to himself on the radio.
Okay, jerk. Your 15 minutes is almost done.
It's done.
Big man, good job beating up a woman.
But we will give you the last word.
Hello?
5, 4, 3, 2.
I love the way she made the change, Greg.
God. He's a tard.
You know, everybody's calling.
Okay.
Hey, that's right. Good. Drop the F-bomb, area code 415. Hey, you know what? I got a website with my friend Mike. How'd you like we put your phone number up on our website so everybody can call you? All the people who disagree with you about Beth Ann McBride, because you can't be civilized enough that your only comeback is the F word. How would that be? Is that okay with you? Oh, there he goes. Bye-bye.
I'm going to miss him.
Bye-bye. There he goes.
Hello. I'd like that number, please.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike.
Yeah.
Sue.
Hi, Sue. How do you do?
I'm fine. You know, I love your guys' show, but you know, you shouldn't have pounded on that poor ass.
Oh, shut up, you dumb bitch. Jesus Christ. You stupid bitch. You're going to call us now and tell us don't pound on the last guy?
No, it's just that the guy obviously had issues, but you know, not
so
everybody.
Do you.
Has, but
so
not,
do you. You should stand up for your own. One bitch should stand up for another one. For God's sakes.
Awesome.
After all, this is about us standing up for our bitch.
It is. Her timing was flawless. Yo. Hickory dickory dog.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Well. That guy needs some BG products.
See, we're getting second Pat Goss reference in a day.
We're getting very close to lockdown Friday.
Oh, right, no. Absolutely.
Might happen today.
It's, you know, it's Friday. All right.
You can't start off your phone call by saying, I want to talk S.
Jeez. That's a bad move.
You can't do that.
All right. Yeah, sorry.
All right. Where's that jail sound effect?
Yeah, we might have to have a lockdown.
I think we're
going
to have to do it right now.
It's for their own good, really.
Here we go, except for the games we're going to play later today. Lockdown. Lockdown Friday.
You made a boy very happy.
Hello.
However, tell Joe... Hi, Beth Ann.
Hey.
Please tell Joe, don't make the phones busy, because we are going to accept calls for games. And we got prizes and games to play today.
Okay.
But lockdown on these calls otherwise.
Okay.
Lockdown.
Right. Gotcha.
And how about that? Who defended you, huh?
You did.
That's right. So did Mike.
I know.
So did Buzz. Kind
of. I know. It's even Rob.
So did Rob Kind.
Right. We all jumped on that guy.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. Although, I just wanted to say, can I speak to you off the air? Hold on one second.
What's going on?
Personal message.
Beth Ann?
It's not really off the air.
He did have a couple of valid points. sometimes. All right, hold on a second.
Oh, you're killing me.
All right, well, that was just... I just had to mention something in private.
Private.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. There she goes.
That was fun.
Who could not like that?
Yes, and we must admit, all of it was fun.
Of course.
Of course it was.
Lockdown Friday.
That's the secret.
See, now I say Lockdown Friday. We're not going to take calls, but you keep calling, and then we keep taking them.
Of course we do.
Hello, Don and Mike. Until it really, really goes south.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
That's a good way to start a phone call, really, on Lockdown Friday when you take the big, deep breath and go.
Expected to talk to Joe.
What?
I was expecting to talk to Joe because you said.
Oh, you were expecting
Friday.
Means you call often.
All right. Well, it's a lockdown.
No,
it's lockdown.
Well, the reason I'm talking is because I was going to ask you. We have a feature for my business that if I want, I can transfer calls to call in.
to my cell phone. If you guys got the guy's cell phone number, why can't you transfer all the incoming calls to his phone?
What a lovely evil idea that is. That is nice.
Now, you know, I'm afraid that we
I'm sorry I yelled at you for saying
However, let me just say, I will file that one away because that's as good as the one that we don't often have to do this. But when you take out the ad in the city paper, and it says, I love oral.
Right.
I love giving and getting.
Yes.
And then you put the guy's phone number in who's called the show a million times.
This would be better.
Yeah, you're right.
It truly would.
It's automatic.
Much better. Thank you.
An instant.
Thank you.
And you know what? Maybe there won't be a lockdown.
That was a pretty strong suggestion.
Sure maybe there won't be a lockdown. I thought you had the other thing in there.
I know, I'm tricking
you. You are funny. All right, let's play the other thing.
You want to help?
Just for a second. I know you do.
See what it's like.
It's old. It's 25 years old now.
Okay, we have some vintage Scott Shannon. This is from when he and I worked at WPGC back in 1980, when he would come in on a Sunday night and just play the awful bad records that he liked to play. And this is a tape that was found. WPGC. Here we go. A little DJ motivation.
WPGC, Shannon with the oldies. Let me take you back now for a number one song, April 1960.
And before this goes in
April 1960.
The main point of this to listen for is when the record starts, because he's playing a record that is so badly burned, and by that I mean it's been played so many times. You remember
right, worn out.
When you were a kid?
Mm-hmm.
When the record starts, it goes... Okay, listen.
When you actually played records.
Song, April 1960, Percy Faith.
God, wow.
That is a burn. Super Shad.
His little loose on the cue, too.
Little bit. Super Shad. Little tape. Okay.
Wow.
Here you go.
Thank you.
All day he's been hovering around. I got Super Shad tape. Got Super Shad tape. And you know why you're... See, I know how you got me. Because you put Like a Virgin on the same disc.
Bingo.
And we'll be right back. Okay.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
I wish we were really big, like Dylan and Stones.
What do you mean big? We're as big as anyone. We have a hit show on CBS. Why can't you see that?
The Don and Mike Show.
Vintage goodness is the best of Don and Mike.
Right. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike returning Tuesday, July 11th. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Ardinger, with you. Let's get right back into it.
Got on board.
Aw, this has got to be a good one. This is, I guess, when we came back from vacation last year, and I had gotten married to Tracy's baby. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Before we even start with the jury tapes, we have to get to the Joe message.
Very good.
So the
big news.
See, the first message would be... Okay, so Joe had some exciting news, and he wanted to call over the weekend, and this is just a sound of Joe first calling Rob A. Rob A.
You have reached the Sprint voice mailbox of...
Rob Spiewak!
First saved message from...
Joe.
Received September 4th at 10:06 p.m.
Hey, I would have called you earlier, but I was busy lighting off Herman candles and bottle rockets. Where are you? Oh, that's right. We're not friends. We work together.
Wow.
Anyway, sincerely, I would have called you earlier, but I was busy lighting off Herman candles and bottle rockets.
Sincerely.
Anyway, I hope all is well with you. Happy Labor Day weekend.
Here we go. Come on, get to it, boy.
Tracy says, hey, and we love you guys, and I hope your family is well, and I hope all is fine.
That's nice.
Call me back tomorrow, because I'm not going to work. Good day. I said good day.
So, he calls Rob, kind of clandestine, you know.
Yes.
Call me back. Rob, of course, does not call him back.
Okay. Of course.
later in the weekend, I get a call. I don't recognize the caller ID, so I let the machine pick it up, and here we go.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Hi! It's me, Super Jew.
Okay. Not really. Here's Joe's message to me, where he finally says what he wanted to say.
First, saved message.
Hey, Don, it's Joe Uninger.
Wow.
Your favorite rock star.
Right.
I got your phone number from Beth Ann. I'm just calling to tell you that Tracy and I got married on Tuesday.
Wow.
And Beth Ann.
Now, hold on. This is where, and congratulations, Joe.
Couldn't be happier.
This is where the showman in Joe is going to come out.
Okay.
Wait and hear the extraordinary offer that he laid out for me, which I have obviously turned down.
That hits me to it. I already knew this, but happy birthday. So if you'd be so kind to call me back, it would be great. I'd like, since we're in bathtub tomorrow, I'd like to announce that we got married tomorrow. If you want, I'll hold it till Tuesday, though. Anyway.
Now, he knows that we're going to be in a truncated show today.
Right.
So if I wanted to hold it.
Sure, the news.
Till tomorrow.
The big news.
If I wanted to hold, you know, the major Woody major announcement.
What he's doing, he's offering you the opportunity to embargo this.
Yeah, now, this is this past weekend. This past weekend you get this message.
Because you know what it is? Yeah, yesterday. Last night. Right. It's because it's radio dynamite.
This is incredible news.
Give me a buzz back. Day. I said good day.
Is he a little loaded then, too?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So he was extremely loaded when he called Rob.
Yeah, because
he's a little less loaded, but he's still loaded when he called Don.
He was lighting off, as we say, Bolo Rockets.
Bolo Rockets.
Not Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
I was just going to tell you, Placer County is right to the north of Sacramento.
Yeah. Let's give that a round of applause.
So that would be ground zero.
And that's where
as we're going to call it with the plague.
That's where the wind is going to blow, blowing the plague down into Sacramento.
Probably by air.
Pussycat plague.
Mm-hmm. The pussycat plague.
The PCP. Kids.
This is Governor Schwarzenegger. Beware of the PCP. The pussycat plague.
I thank you, my friend.
All right, thank you.
See you later. Okay, so it is out there by Sacramento. Yes.
All right, what's new?
So let's call Joe.
Who's he kid?
Because Joe was nice enough to...
This share is good news.
All of this up.
Yeah.
Hello?
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
See you.
Bye-bye.
I think you spoke for all of us, man.
There you go. So Joe's...
you covered it.
Joe is married, and now let's move on with the jury tapes. Uh-huh.
Very good.
Hi! It's me, Super Jew. I mean...
Cameron Gray, Operations Director.
Hi!
Okay. So Joe got married, and there you go. The cat's out of the bag now.
Any questions?
I don't... Anybody?
Anybody got any questions? Show of hands?
Anybody?
No.
Okay. All right. There you go. See, that's why I couldn't wait to go with it today. I couldn't wait, Mike. It was too strong. But, Joe, thank you for the option to hold it until tomorrow's show.
I'm so glad you went with it today. I wouldn't have wanted to wait.
Yeah.
Any questions?
See, here is my thought process.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked its way almost at the top of the show. You know, I almost thought, hi, karate or Joe? Which would be...
I know.
And the great Arnold tapes, you know. Hi, karate, Arnold tapes, Joe's announcement.
What to lead with? I can still smell that stuff.
When Joe's wedding.
No.
You know, I don't even know. I bet he went out west, they'd say. I bet he went to Vegas.
Are your eyes burning at all?
No, but it's a little bad. It's bad.
My eyes are bad.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Hi there, Joe. All kidding aside...
So I should just...
Congratulations. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It was a great day, whenever it happened.
Any other questions?
I'm sure all the details are on his website.
Yeah, I was wondering... Seriously, I was wondering...
Okay, Mike.
Oh, it's gone. Wait a minute. It'll come back to you. All right.
Lightheaded?
No, I got it.
Hello?
Yeah, I was wondering, Joe, Man, I lost it again. Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, now this time we'll really ask him.
Okay.
At least where he got married.
And to who?
Whom? Hello?
Can I talk to Beth Ann, please?
Sure.
Oh.
For you.
Hello?
Hey, where'd Joe get married?
Las Vegas.
Thank you.
Hello.
Bye-bye.
I heard a no in the background. No.
It wasn't Vegas.
It wasn't?
No.
Where was it?
Well, hold on. Can we guess?
Yes.
He's calling us now.
Phone's ringing.
For God's sakes. Hello? Who is this?
It's Bethan.
Oh, hi, B.A.
Yeah. He didn't get married in Vegas.
Not tech.
Good enough for me.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
The answer we're looking for, not Las Vegas.
That's all I wanted to know. No, if it wasn't in Vegas, does it matter?
Not in the city proper, no.
Not in the city proper.
Was it out
Did
of
you
the,
get a call?
Yeah.
Did you get a call?
Was it, out of the, was it out of the Commonwealth, Buzz? Was it out west?
Yes, it was out west. It was near Las Vegas, I think.
In Sacramento.
Were you invited? It's where they found some cat.
Oh, God, please. I hope he went to Mexico. Now, I know Mexico is not necessarily right next to Las Vegas. Like,
and it wouldn't be north either.
You're right again, unless I was looking at the map upside down.
Canada.
No.
Not close.
No, no. Yeah. Reno? To go to Reno?
Perhaps Reno?
Well, he does harbor that dream that he has some kind of musical ability to be a rock star. Maybe he went, like, to Los Angeles.
I'm thinking Los Angeles, too.
I'm going to go with Reno as my final guess. What is your final guess, Mike?
I got A, B, C, D.
Which is?
Don't care.
Okay, Buzz, tell
that's
us.
Hardly the spirit. You know, I forgot.
Well, I didn't get a call.
Forgotten the name of the town. It's like Colorado something. It's just outside of Las Vegas, I believe.
Well, then what's his problem?
It wasn't in Las Vegas. You were asking me who was in Las Vegas, and it really wasn't.
Yeah, married at the...
Hello?
So it was like, what, outside Las Vegas?
Yeah.
What was it like?
It was...
Something happened to the connection.
What happened there?
This darn phone system.
I'm sorry. Was gone for a couple of weeks. It's just fantastic. You know, I wish we had the old phones, like in old-time radio.
You could really make that crunch sound.
When you would hear that... To let you know that the person's been hung up on.
Yeah, because all these newfangled talk shows, you know, you're designed to keep the calls as seamless as possible. That so you can hang up on people without anybody hearing it.
If I could just throw out an attaboy.
Bacardi Limon.
Tony Diggs.
Chief Engineer Tony Diggs. We've been gone for 2.5 weeks, and I want to tell you, the place is exactly the same as when we left.
Yeah, how about a nice big round of applause for absolutely nothing getting done?
And I'm not even calling out Tony. It's the entire management crew here that, like, for weeks wasted my valuable time calling me into meetings saying, ideally, when we redo the studio when you're gone...
What do you need?
How would you like it? You know, what do you need? Come back, you know what's been done? Not one freaking thing.
Actually, there is one difference. The bat player is broken.
The what?
The
digital
but,
audio tape player.
On it.
Wait a minute. Where's my picture of Buzz and me in the in the pool in the Blue Lagoon? Where's that picture?
It's gone.
Someone took it, Buzz.
I'll replace it with a framed color one.
There you go. Maybe all right, thank you.
Always color with him.
But I see they put up. Somebody's got like some sort of Sin Wood City for Sin City.
Sin City. What is
that? Cheap little. Like, pictures of Jessica Alba, like, from a copying machine in black and white.
Yeah, now listen, this is the stuff that can hang on the wall in the studio, okay? Here's a nice picture of Britney Spears that just about everybody that works here has defiled and written things on.
Right.
And there are, like, the squiggly lines indicating stink coming from parts of her body.
What's the blue business card above her head? What is that? What significance does that
have? Somebody signed me up for the AARP.
Okay, all right, that's good.
So that's my official AARP card.
That's funny.
Below it, you've got Chewie playing the drums from Star Wars.
I think that's from Travis.
Always timely.
And then, what is this, someone's Toyota thing from their car?
Toyota logo and a escutcheon.
Why is that in here?
I don't know.
We're making
I think it always makes me...
That's gone. Goodbye. See you. There
but
you
it
go.
It serves as a good reminder to keep an eye on the Japanese.
And you know what? Really,
never forget, Rob.
I'm putting stuff up in here.
Good.
Are you?
I'm gonna mark my territory. The first thing I'm gonna do is that picture of me and Buzz. If you get that,
I think you wiped your face with something that was marked territory today.
I swear to God, I don't know whether I'm gonna have to bathe for 3 days in a row, scrub my face with lava to get this high karate off of me.
That stuff sold.
It's amazing.
It's really bad.
And Don, I take it back because I really think that we had a disagreement as to whether High Karate smelled like brute, and you had said it smells nothing like brute, and it doesn't smell like brute.
No, it smells real Avon-y.
Yeah.
It smells like, what was the animal urine that was in the news while we were gone?
Deer?
Was it a fast food place that was supplying?
They soaked donkey meat and tiger urine in Japan, and they sold it as tiger meat.
Oh, it's tasty, too. Oh.
And then what was the urine that we put on the people's head? Was that raccoon urine?
Raccoon, I believe, yes.
That was good, too. But it wasn't put out by Fabergé.
Hello?
I love their eggs. How are your eggs, Beth Ann?
They're fine.
Are your eggs beyond harvesting?
No.
So you're still fertile?
Still.
Wow.
You saw the guy you love, didn't you?
Yep, last night.
You didn't tell him, did you?
Nope.
No.
Oh. How come?
I just couldn't.
Oh, what could it hurt?
You dirty bird.
You're too embarrassed?
It just wasn't... Yeah, there were people there. I couldn't. It wasn't right, so... It's
what,
okay.
What if it was in the middle of a conversation? You just went, that's a great story. I love you. There we go.
Right.
Nice to see it's back. Beth Ann, once again, I was making a statement and you talked right through it again.
Well, we have the same thought.
Beth Ann, this is for you. Would you put Joe on, please?
I sure will. Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Hello?
He's thinking you were paranoid about that.
Yep. Was that a great example?
She does love talking when you talk.
That was textbook.
It's true. Joe?
Yes.
Seriously, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. Is that, I mean, is there anything we really need to know beyond that?
No.
Okay, good. All right, well, you know, my conscience is clear then. I mean, all that hang-up stuff and everything.
Well, we got married in Boulder City.
Boulder, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Hey, Joe?
Yeah?
Nah. Not into it. Just don't give a rat's ass. Just, you know, good luck, pal. Good luck.
Is this his first one? That is a legitimate question I would have.
Good luck in the sewer that is marriage.
Well, time's up on questions.
Good luck.
Yeah, you're right. We'll never know.
No. Boy, am I lucky. I mean, in that regard. All those great years in the sewer with Frida.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Mike, Buzz wanted to talk to you, Joe.
Hi, Buzz.
Hey, Joe. How's married life treating you?
Great.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Oh, is he gone?
Yeah.
Please, I do have a legitimate question.
Really?
Yes.
Now stop with the jokes.
I'm not making jokes. It's a serious stuff. Joe.
Yeah.
Can you get me an iced tea?
Sure.
Thank you.
There you go. That was an honest call.
It was. I really want one.
Marriage agrees with him.
I really want one.
And we'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Certainly is a beautiful day. We should thank the leader.
Who the hell is that? Some kind of leader?
Yes. He's the head of our perfect family.
Why don't you come chat with us about the leader at the Welcome Center?
Will there be beer?
Beer is not allowed.
Home or no function, beer well without.
Would you rather have beer or complete and utter contentment?
What kind of beer?
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Thank you, Sonny, and welcome back to The Best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Ardinger, with you on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday afternoon. Hope it's good where you are. Don and Mike returning on Thursday, July 11th. But we've got a lot of great best of. And, of course, everybody loves this, and especially a little boy named Robe. It's Don and Mike begin with the telethon tapes. Jerry Lewis from 2005 on The Best of Don and Mike.
Okay. Are you ready for this, kids?
I am.
And more importantly, are you ready for this?
Yes!
Are you ready? For the first time ever. After we're coming back from a Labor Day holiday, we are actually going to play the Jerry tapes from the telethon.
Hi! It's me, Super Jew.
Just know that last year, we were nearing the second half of December when we got to them. Not that I kept track.
But also, on behalf of procrastination,
yes.
Last year, Jerry was fatter, more bloated,
right. Yeah.
Didn't have as much time, and would never have given us a nugget like...
Hi! It's me, Super Jew.
Yeah, it was almost like the old days.
Then you have, like, your own music that you got from the telephone?
Yes.
Of course you do.
Yes, I do.
And don't we have, not to look too far ahead, but don't we have Ed really effing up the toad bad?
It wasn't Ed this year. It was, well, he messed it up, but the worst error falls to Jerry this year.
Good. Jerry screwed up the toad?
Bad.
Oh, good. Wow.
All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's start. Let's turn off Rob's dumb music.
It's great music.
You.
That's the local cutaway music.
Da, 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 da. Jerry Lewis.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Wow.
Now, I'm just going to go with Rob's notes on this.
Okay.
Just keep in mind, Rob is retarded. If you did not know that, Rob is definitely retarded in the head.
In a fun, very good way.
Fun way.
Retarded in the head, retarded in the bed. And he not only watches this Jerry Lewis thing every year, he tapes it. And he keeps copious notes with the highlights.
I'm done. And now I'm chomping the bit.
He would do this if he wasn't on the show. He, as I recall, you did this long before you ever...
Yeah, I really got into it way deep in college. But a little before that,
so. As many kids do. Normal, normal kids.
Hey, speaking of... God, I got a lot of stuff about my kids, and I put an S on the end of that to tell you about tomorrow about both of my kids. But Bart has fallen into a great college trap, and in this way, I'm very proud of him.
Okay.
I never went to college, but I know a great rite of passage is he is finally with his friends watching The Price is Right.
Oh. Oh, my God. Price is Right in soap operas.
And I'm sure that this also made the news while we were gone, but on one of the pre-taped episodes of The Price is Right last week, I guess he and his friends were, you know, shaking it off and getting ready to get their day going at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Of course.
They turn on their friend Bob Barker.
Right.
Where's that tape of Bob? Hold on, here he is. Here's Bob.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
And I guess the showcase show prize was a trip to New Orleans. And not only a trip to New Orleans, but a boat.
Oh, no.
And it was obviously taped like months in advance, but nobody had the foresight
to do some editing at CBS.
Yeah. So right as they were, and as Bart described it, in one part of the screen, they actually had like Hurricane Katrina coverage, and then they say,
wow,
what do you want? It's a trip to New Orleans.
Go enjoy New Orleans, Bob.
So here's what Rob writes on his copious notes about Jerry.
Okay.
A nice big sigh. Then,
now, when Rob writes something like that, it's just listen for Jerry's sound that he
then
makes.
Then Jerry's cold open. Heartfelt sentiments abound as Jerry decides to share the MD spotlight with Hurricane Katrina. A little too early, Rob says, to do it with the I, me, or my game.
Oh.
But I'd like to try it anyway. Just to count the numbers, number of times he says I and me.
So for those of you that might not have heard this, Don, you will be hitting the bell every time Jerry says an I or a me.
Or Ryan.
And Rob says that this is one that does not highlight. He may have, it's like a private note to me. Little too early to play the I, me, or mine game.
Which has motivated you to do it anyway.
But just the fact that you wrote it's a little early, I mean, there's got to be something in there.
Yeah, there's a shot.
Yeah.
One or two.
It's Jerry talking. So. It's a monologue.
Here we go.
I never thought that anything could...
I'm sorry.
I mean, I really...
First word.
First word was I.
First Correct. Word of the telephone.
The first word of the telephone was I.
I never thought that anything could distract me with only hours from the telethon. Usually my energy and my passion are full-blown preparing to help, assist, generate funds, and just make my kids a little better.
Now, hold on. Do we count my kids?
Yes.
Most definitely. Past.
Any form of me.
I, me, mine.
Thought in the past we've given him a pass.
No, never give him a pass on that. No. My kids is five. If we gave up my kids, that's good for 70, 80 of them.
Five so far.
Not so much physically, but certainly mentally.
Yes, Super Chew.
They all wait 363 days for their show. Their show of the year that is specifically
Will and Grace
to give them some joy and a lot of hope.
They're waiting for My Name is Earl.
But I know my kids will understand if I hold up the beginning of their show, because there are hundreds of thousands of people who now know what suffering really is.
He's breathing a lot, isn't he?
The loss of children.
Very dry mouth.
The loss of their homes. Yeah. Their prized possessions. Their puppies and other pets.
He's gone like 20 seconds now.
They've had no water.
It's good for
They've had no light. They've had no power of any kind. They were all walking and swimming and treading in the water that was about 8 feet high.
Selfless this is.
Their cars are gone. Trying to find...
He's gone at least 1 minute without saying, I, me.
Says, I'm proud of him.
No.
They are running out of time.
It's too bad he wasn't in the hurricane.
No.
Then we'd have more eyes and me's.
I doubt if there is anything we can do about their loss of self.
See, then it would
their
be there.
Their personal regard for one or another. And the self-esteem that blew away with that first gush of water. I call on you as generous and caring Americans. I know what I'm talking about. Calling Americans generous and caring is right
on. How many lozenges are in this guy's mouth?
Not enough.
In half a century, Americans have been there each time I asked for their help. Now people in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Texas...
Wait a minute, Texas.
We're going to stop the I, me game to hear Texas.
Now people in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Texas.
There's a... That is a loose plate, Texas. That is a loose plate
Texas.
That I can identify.
Texas. Are in dire need of your help. It's vital, urgent, and immediate. Please contact either the Salvation Army.
Either.
Or the Red Cross.
No.
Geared up to fight.
Now I'm just listening to him and his teeth slipping out.
And save some lives.
Save some lives.
I couldn't believe seeing an elderly lady on a mattress because she had no forward motion. I couldn't fathom little babies without water.
Hold on a second.
Food.
What is the deal with his mouth, Rob?
Baby.
What is it, really? What has happened to his mouth?
Is it the teeth falling out, or is it the? Is it still the meds he's on?
Is it out of breath?
He shouldn't be dry mouthed, and he should not be out of breath because this is the first moment of the telethon.
Right.
And he's seated.
This is that.
Wow.
That's an absolute apex right now. He might as well come out in a Superman suit.
His tie. He didn't even do his bow tie.
No. Right.
So he's just sitting there talking.
And he, it's a combination of dry mouth and, I think, some sort of dental work.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have, like, the I miss in the morning tubes coming out of his nose?
No.
He's not on oxygen?
No, he looks great.
He looks healthy?
Yeah, he really does.
And when I saw him on Larry King...
Well, in comparison, he looks great.
He kind of looks like Beetlejuice because...
Well, the best thing that Rob ever said about Jerry, he still has that twitchy quality.
Yes.
Where he twitches a little.
He has a lot of that still.
But what I noticed physically was on Larry King that while he has lost weight and he made a big deal about it, his face has shrunk, but his body was still like Marlon Brando size.
Yeah, but they're wrapping him well. In a big, big tuxedo, so you don't notice his size.
But he's not nearly as big as he was last year.
No, he looks a lot healthier, and I think he's 79 now,
okay.
So he looks pretty good for 80.
All right. Oh, come on.
I think he does.
Well, it's just like Elvis. He's a fan.
For all time, I found it impossible for my mind to accept men crying and fighting for their lives in front of everyone.
Blah, blah, blah.
Embarrassed? Yeah. Frightened? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Please search your heart.
Dennis Murphy.
And know what you do now is for human beings to stay alive.
Okay, Jerry.
Thank you.
Relatively selfless.
Wow. And I love that NBA audience with the starting of the...
What was the
total? Know that had to be a stage manager that started
right
the clapping.
What was the total there, Buzz?
That was 15. 15 I, me, my, and mines.
Still not bad.
He cracks me up, though, because you're right. It was probably a stage manager.
Of course, that crowd is too dim. They don't notice that.
What?
Here's a great transition.
What?
Because remember, that really was, for him, that's
open.
About as somber as he gets.
Mm-hmm. So he goes right from that to this.
Here's subtlety right here.
I mean, literally. He goes right from, well,
I'm just going to put it on continuous and let it just roll. Mm-hmm. Can we back it up a little bit?
Don't. Are you going to go all the way back to Tark?
No.
Tark.
Here we go.
After all that crap you just heard.
What?
You have to be back where you should be at the home base at the podium, please. Start the show. You've got to go back there.
Oh, I have no time to make my tie?
No, we have no time.
I have no time to make my tie. I got to go up here. Okay, I love this kind of informality. Are we ready now?
Yes.
We are. Okay?
You need about 5 seconds more?
4, 3, 2, 1. Hi! It's me, Super Jew. I mean, Jerry Lewis. I would like for you ladies and gentlemen to greet the African dance master, the incredible African Dance Festival at the Debbie Allen Dance Academy in Culver City. Please welcome them. Here they are. And are they good? Come on, kids. Hi.
Oh, man. I love that telethon.
So his energy level goes from... Me, don't you. And then who knows what was going on with the African dance troupe he's announcing.
Do I have time to make the tie?
Make my tie?
Make the tie.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That was something else. Thank you all very much. It's a great way to start. And to all you ladies...
Wow. You didn't tell us about this thing with his speech this year. That, to me, is the best part. The amount of saliva that's in the mouth.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, it could be one or the other.
It could be, you know, because he's always talked about the lozenges, where he's always going to have a cough drop or something.
When he goes to sing, and I'll just tell this now, it's not a spoiler because we can't see it. When he goes to sing, You'll Never Walk Alone, his lozenge fell out. I watched it, I'm not kidding you, 30 times. As he goes to sing, and you just hear on the tape, you just hear like... But you see something fall out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was something else.
Okay, let's stop right there. Stop right there. We are actually we're playing the Jerry tapes.
Yes.
We're really playing.
Hi. It's me, Super Jew.
Jerry.
He gives and gives.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Right. Hold on. Let me see. What do we have? Jerry with Barry Manilow.
Oh, hello.
Oh, we have some Barry Manilow speaking on tape.
Oh, good.
Then we have the timpanis. Jerry loses his thoughts.
Uh-oh.
Oh, great. See, I didn't pre-read all of this.
Okay.
So you're getting it as I do.
So far, all the highlighted items you're reading sound good to me.
I want to thank the fine young talent, Celine Dion. Why Jerry...
Great kid.
Why Jerry loves popsicles.
Again?
Yep.
He's still doing the popsicle bit.
Love that story. Jerry loves Burger King.
That's like, this is rehashed from last year.
All the same.
Let me see. Norm Crosby intros Frank Caliendo. How was Frank?
Frank was, it's a shame he was on in the overnight. It was the funniest 5 minutes of the whole show.
Wait, who did he do?
He did Bush, he did Madden, he did Al Pacino.
Oh, good, good.
He did all his good stuff. He was really strong.
Good. He was funny on that Fox show yesterday. He did that Jim Rome thing yesterday on that Fox show with JB. Yeah. Let me see. Then you've got Carrot Top. Gay Billy Gilman, you know who he is. He's that little hairless country singer boy who, when you see him, you think he really might be one of Jerry's kids, but like that he might be sick.
But he's not.
No, he's not. He's not. I think he's the next Ray Stevens.
Very good. About time.
Gosh, then you've got Larry. Oh, Larry was on. Hi.
Does Larry host for a while?
Yes.
Larry did 3 hours on Monday morning, and he was ever so Larry.
Then we have Ed slurring. Larry saying, wow. Larry makes it awkward for the president of Citgo. God, Rob, these notes.
I know.
It's nice that Jerry turns it over to Larry, a much younger man, to take the mantle when Jerry's not there.
Larry King screws up the 7-Eleven check. This cluster F has, this has got 28, this cluster F has several missed cues.
Is this Larry?
No, this is Jerry.
Okay.
And I'm reading Rob's notes.
All right.
Cut 28. This cluster F has several miscues. Ed is lost. The tote board actually went from $25 million to $24 million. a million-dollar loss. Then we have Tony Orlando kissing ass.
These all sound great.
Jerry cuts up. Ed McMahon blows it. He and Jerry give each other ass. And a check presenter gets caught in the middle. Jerry gets interrupted and bitches about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this sounds like good stuff.
Jerry loves Popeye's chicken.
Is this a good one, Rob? This sounds like a good telethon, really.
And he also loves popsicles again. Uh-huh. Jerry's pissed about the Emmys.
Is there a chance of hearing just one screw-up before we go to break?
No.
No, we can't?
Look,
just I'm dying to hear a screw-up.
Ed screws up the final toast.
We have to hear all of this.
I do. I want to hear it.
Well, that's why we started it when we started it. So.
Screw up the toast, Jerry.
We are doing it.
Hi! It's me, Super Jew.
And we'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
You look any different?
No.
Well, I should, because I am playing Hercules!
Hey!
They want me! They want me!
Oh, congrats!
Oh,
hey, what's going on?
Disney wants me!
What are they doing, a live-action version of Dumbo? Did you throw on 40 pounds, little gray man? Because you're going to be great. Hey, what are you doing, ass?
This is a warning, my friend. You do not mess with Hercules.
Okay.
I killed my wife, I killed my children, and I shall kill you if you do not temper thy tongue.
What are you, f***ing insane, Hank?
I know not this Hank you speak of. As of this day, when you cast your eye upon me, you shall see only one man, and that man is Hercules!
The Don and Mike Show. Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
That's right. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Let's keep it going. We've got more telethon tapes in this segment. But first, Don has trouble with his porno. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Too many broken hearts are falling.
Poor Jerry. I'll just tell you.
Too many
last night, I thought I was finally ready.
Okay.
Was in a good mood, in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really was in a good place. I was on my couch. It was after all of the late games. The Chris Berman show was on. It was about 8 o'clock. I figure, you know.
Did you look in on the Emmys and see Ellen?
Did I? You know, I'll tell you something about Ellen. I've said this from day one.
Mm-hmm.
She can fill out a sweater. I am not kidding.
Oh, she has real woman's breasts. No question.
She is the wife in that marriage. And boy, is she a good wife.
Now, wait a minute. Now, I disagree with you there.
Yeah.
You're wrong about that. She's definitely the husband.
I've seen the two of them together.
Is she still with Portia de Rossi?
Yes. And
oh, come on.
No. When they go out, even though Ellen dresses like a man.
Yeah, that's right. What I'm thinking. That's one thing.
I saw them interviewed. I saw Ellen DeGenitals interviewed many times before the Emmys when she was talking about like being from New Orleans and everything.
Right.
And I saw her with Portia, her girlfriend.
And is it based on their behavior?
Yes. It's almost like a opposites attract, or they're playing the other's part.
She's the alpha dyke?
Yeah, because, yes. She's the lipstick lesbian. Portia is the girl that's on the... What's that show? She's Arrested Development.
Right, on Tonight.
And she's all made up, and she looks as feminine as can be.
Uh-huh.
And Ellen is wearing, like, a suit from Brooks Brothers or something.
Right.
And the whole time, she's, like, doting on Ellen and stroking her hair. And Ellen wasn't being very masculine. I got the feeling that Portia, whatever her name is, she's the husband.
Really?
Yeah.
So Portia's the one. See, I'm doing it on pure looks. On pure looks, if you're going for the real feminine of the two.
No, I agree that it's that Portia chick.
But you're saying if they behave, that Ellen, are you telling me that Ellen, in your estimation,
is the feminine one?
She submits?
Yes.
To Portia de Rossi when they're in public together?
Yes.
Hmm. She becomes very, like, shy and...
I would not be surprised if the other one opens the doors for Ellen and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, you would think Ellen... You know, first off, you think Ellen goes to the bathroom standing up anyway because she has a man.
And it's because of the clothing. It's the man suits and the hairdo and everything else.
And nobody's ever bothered to tell her, you know, that Earth shoes went out 20 years ago, and no matter how much you like the shoes, remember the color of those shoes. Ellen DeGeneres wears a lot of, Feeling Sick Brown.
Yeah.
On her TV show.
Practical shoes never go out of style. And she was wearing, of course, for the Emmys, the whole man tuxedo look. And then she did her show, I think she did her show live today.
And that's why I saw...
Right after the
That's
Emmys.
Why I got a really good glimpse of her Golden Globes.
Yes.
I mean...
Because she was kind of... It looked to me she was in the same outfit that she wore to host the Emmy. And she was kind of, she had like maybe an extra button undone because it was a long night of TV.
We saw the same show.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine what that blouse must have smelled like?
See, now I'm totally intrigued though, that you say that. I'm intrigued to see those two together.
Watch like, don't you TiVo Entertainment Tonight or the
Access Hollywood
show?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Well, TiVo that and watch the two of them and tell me if Ellen doesn't totally surprise you.
Really?
As the woman.
Hmm. But what you're saying, to make a long story short, is you would still...
Yes.
You've always had a little shine for Ellen.
If it was one or the other...
Oh, between the two of them?
Yeah.
You'd do Ellen before Portia de Rossi?
Sure I would.
Wow.
Oh, see, I'm astonished by that.
You know why? I'm a breast man.
And Portia de Rossi is probably less in that department.
Yeah.
Even though I'm like the Pillsbury Doughboy right now below the waist. I'm like Donald Duck below the waist. You know, Donald Duck doesn't wear pants because Donald Duck has no genitals. So anyway, last night, just getting down to biz, thinking this is going to be pretty good.
So you still have them?
Oh, my genitals?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So not you were shaking off your white duck tail.
And I had not even started. I was just to the channel where you order. And I'm trying to decide if I want to buy one or if I'm going to buy the whole block for $12.
Come on now.
So, of course, I buy the whole block. And thank God I had not even started to try because there was just, you know, when you go to channel 593 on DirecTV, when you're going to order the 5-pack of pornos.
Yeah, it's got lovely little music.
They play like light jazz. Okay, so there was light jazz playing and I heard ding dong, which was last night, the doorbell rings.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, my God, who's coming over now? You know, no pun intended. So I go in the other room, and it's the neighbor, and she was saying happy birthday, and then she started talking about, you know, how you're doing without Frida, and she was not trying to bring me down.
No.
But,
oh, no.
But this is not why I bring it up.
Right.
At one point, I said to her, would you like to sit and talk? And she said, sure, if you don't mind for a couple of seconds. I said, sure, come on in. And we go past my cave.
Do you have, there, was it on 593? Yeah,
it was on 593.
So a giant blue screen in your room?
No. It was not. It was the white screen that has the DirecTV logo, but it says, I mean, it's like an eye chart, like a thing. You could have been standing there, you know, where the doctor says, put a hand over your left eye. Can you see it better now or not? It was pay-per-view adult films. And on the bottom it said, thank you for your order. $12.95. I ask you not.
Oh, God.
I ask you not. And she pretended like she didn't know what it was, even though as we walked past the corner of the house into the living room.
Did you order the 5-pack?
You can hear the jazz music playing.
Yeah, at least you didn't happen to pop up even to channel 594.
And
which you always call atmosphere,
but it's really
a taste of spice.
A taste of spice.
That's the taste.
They never show nothing on that channel.
But sometimes the women are so strong that I don't care about that.
But anyway, I think I'm ready for a breakthrough in that department. So just be advised, if your car alarm goes off or something tonight.
Uh-huh. Did you invite your neighbor to stay for maybe 4 hours or so? It's 3 hours, Rob.
Oh. Yeah.
Is it 3 hours or 4 hours?
3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours. That's funny.
It's 3 hours. Anyway, nothing happened. But I'm pretty sure I'm getting close.
You're getting close to the moment of truth?
Yeah.
Thanks for warning us.
Are
you going to be like Joe and call everybody when that happens?
Yes.
When that moment happens?
Mike, no bottle rocket.
Hey, Mike. I know we're not friends.
That's right. Jesus, that's right. I did not get a call from Joe, a drunken call from Joe, but I wish him the very best. Of course.
Okay, here we go. Back to the Jerry tapes, because this is why we're here today.
That's right.
The Jerry Lewis MDA Telethon. Here is Jerry's welcome. And does he say marvelous?
Yes.
He says marvelous. And also I say, let's play the I, me, my game. Okay?
All right.
Here we go. And this is where he's going to introduce Barry Manilow.
Ah.
Now, what does Rob say? This is a tape performance. Supposed to look like a live cutaway, but a few bad edits ruin the illusion. Jerry is a whore for Hilton. By the way, Jerry looks good, but tie your goddamn bow tie. The bow tie should not be untied and let to hang loose until the final hours of the telecast.
Right. Rob's upset about that.
These are notes from Rob.
This wouldn't happen if Rob was hosting the telephone.
No.
You'd have the tie done the whole time.
You take off the tie at the kill.
That's right.
Here we go.
That's
right.
Yeah. Yeah. That was something else. Thank you all very much. It's a great way to start. And to all you ladies and gentlemen watching, I welcome you to Telethon 2005.
I welcome you.
We've got some marvelous entertainers for you. I can't believe this is our 40th year that we've been going coast to coast in our Telethon. We did a bunch of stuff before that. But it is my 53rd year, and I'm still in there doing what I have to do. Thank you.
There's the stage manager starting the applause for you.
There's my girl.
That's not that one.
Oh, my.
My girl.
Doing what I have to do for my kids. We've had some wonderful inroads. We have some people.
Is he twisting the microphone in his hand? What does he do? You know, Don will occasionally get frustrated with us if we're grabbing the microphones too much because it makes a lot of noise.
Sound.
And he's going nuts.
They should have a lavalier mic on him because he talks always.
That's the microphone that you just clip onto your onto your lapel.
But he's got a hand mic and he's wrenching it and he's twitchy. We've already said this.
Yeah, they'll talk to you about the scientific advances that we've made and how marvelous MDA has been for patients.
You know, we're not even counting the marvelous.
No.
That's the second marvelous.
It ought to be a subcategory.
And so it shall be.
Parents and the people that have suffered from the 40 neuromuscular diseases.
Suffered?
We'll have a lot of entertainment. We'll have information for you that I think you should hear and that you're entitled to know about before you call and send us your money. I think that this might be a very good idea.
I owed him a ding.
Because things are getting better in our country, from what I get from politicians, and I have to suspect that things are getting better. So, if you're going to send $10 to us, for my kids, to MDA, maybe you send another $10 to the Salvation Army or the Red Cross.
Okay, I got to stop it there, Robert. He goes on for two more minutes. Buzz, how many... in 2 minutes and 2 seconds, how many times did he say, my?
He's picking up the pace. He's up to 13 in two
there
minutes.
There you go, Jerry.
But you're going to miss Barry's intro.
That's right, we are.
Oh, you're killing me. Uh-huh. You're killing me.
But we are going to hear the Tony Orlando introduction.
If I had to choose one, I'd go with T.O.
Okay, good. Good.
T.O.
The original T.O.
Yeah, the original T.O.
And this is Kiss-assy, right?
Oh, my God.
Hey, Kiss-assy on the part of Tony Orlando or on Jerry?
Tony kisses ass.
Okay, here we go. T.O.
But I would like you, ladies and gentlemen, to please be good enough to watch the screen here in the studio. We're going to introduce you Tony Orlando. Let's welcome him in New York. Tony! Hey, Tony!
Imagine you're one of these poor crippled kids. You're watching this thing and you're thinking, this loser... has been, is the best you can... Where's Nick and Jessica?
He's not going to turn it over to Nick and Jessica.
No. You got
to
wonder, where's Hillary Duff? For God's sake, where's any of today's teen sensations?
Please help. No, we've got Tony Orlando and Jerry.
Where's Tommy Lee singing the song that I like better than Paul McCartney?
Now you're talking.
Hi, sweetie. Yo, Tony. Hello,
God
bless
you. Good to see you.
How are you?
I'm fine. In New York and New Jersey and Connecticut is once again ready and going for it, Jerry, this year. And thank you for your unbelievable gargantuan heart for what you've done this year. Unprecedented. The mother of all telethons. You created it. And once again, unselfishly, you've done something very special.
Oh, God, shut up.
In the hurricane. I'm so proud to be part of this organization.
Thanks, Tony.
So proud someone still puts me on TV.
My friend.
And you know, you always call me Puerto Rican. I wrote a song about Puerto Rico. I'm going to make you very happy.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You're the only Puerto Rican I ever met.
How come I talk like you then?
Because you're a Jewish Puerto Rican.
Shall we do it?
Go do it, Tony.
Here we go. It's called Caribbean Jewel. All of you in Puerto Rico.
Did you say it's called Caribbean Jew?
Jewel.
Oh.
I know you wanted that song to be something different. Tony Orlando.
Leonetta. You got to give Tony Leonetta credit. He is always trying something.
Yep.
He is always trying something.
You listen to that in your own car, bro.
Caribbean Jew.
You will.
Perhaps later.
Here we go. We got to do a break. Here's Jerry losing his train of thought.
I remind you once again that you should really remember that somewhere along the evening or tomorrow that you call and let them know that you care. Of course, I'm talking about the... what am I talking about, honey? The Salvation Army. You got to remember to remind me. Ed, it's up to you, honey.
Did he call Ed Honey?
Yes.
He just called Ed Honey.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Allison Kitchen, the acupuncturist.
Hey.
Hi, Allison.
Oh, Mike's former acupuncturist.
How are you, Allison?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Okay, what's up, honey?
I wanted to talk to you about your number three. I was wondering...
Really? Well, I can't tell you how many years I've waited for a woman to say that.
You remember Allison when she came into the studio.
Sure I do.
Yes, we do.
Okay, I look a little different now because I'm 4 months pregnant.
Hey, you know what?
Only 4 months.
That works for me, baby.
It does work for you.
How much are you showing? Is the BF been to see you?
What?
The TF?
The booby fairy.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful.
Certainly.
Yeah, that happens. Do you have something you can do with your needles for Don?
Well, just a second here.
Me or the acupuncturist that he was seeing before should be able to.
No, she won't have sex with me.
He's out.
Certainly not, but she could definitely do some points that opens that up.
No. Listen, no thank you. I appreciate it. Goodbye. Goodbye, Allison Kitchen. Goodbye. Here's a song for you, though, Allison.
Puerto Rican Jew. Caribbean
Jew. Caribbean Jew. I leave the last two letters off.
For saving. That's right. God. Wow.
Hi. It's me, Super Jew.
Oh, that was that, I remember that chick when I was really into acupuncture.
Yes.
She tried to get you into acupuncture.
Yeah. Didn't do it for me as much as it did for you,
She's pregnant.
She's pregnant. Well, lovely. I did, really. I gotta be honest with you, there was one visit.
Yeah, 4 months ago.
And I was it was 4 months ago, actually.
She's Carrie Young, toe-headed. And what is that thing they say about kids? It's not toe-headed. It's,
Carrot-top.
No. It's something head. It's not toe-head. Not mop-head. It starts with T.
Cone-headed?
No, not. It's something that indicates you have a mop of red hair. Like you have a little tuft of red. Toe-headed?
Mop-topped.
No, it starts with T.
Toe-headed is blonde.
Blonde. Toe-headed is blonde.
Well, then I'm totally screwed up on that. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, that's not Mike's kids.
Thank God.
All of Mike's kids, all of them, littered all over the country, they all have red hair.
They all look like little leprechauns.
Blue eyes.
And the boys are all fat. Well, when they get to be like two, they start to be fat.
But they all do
then
that.
The women are all beautiful.
They all do that thing with that Mike Myers did. Speaking of the great Mike Myers,
exactly
with the flashlight.
Yeah,
in Wayne's World,
right. They hold it under their chin.
Scary face.
They go, "Hello, Daddy," and they all have Scottish accents, which is weird because I'm Irish.
That is odd.
Ooh, father! Yeah, there you go. Toe-headed.
Okay, we've got to do this, and then we will... Oh, thank you, John. Thank you.
Great big fart.
Oh, the Billy Big Boy.
Billy Big Boy stepped up.
Cheaper than dude.
That's very good.
So it's available.
Uh-huh.
It's available. Like, for instance, if you say, who did you watch cover the Emmys last night? Well, I went between Melissa and Joan Rivers. I turned on Star Jones.
Great big fart.
It works.
Now, it works. You know, we work with what we've got.
That's right.
I mean, that's what you have to do in this world.
What did you have for dinner last night?
I had eggs, actually. Great big fart. I didn't have eggs. I had roast chicken. Great big fart. And mashed potatoes.
Okay. God, you're going to get...
we don't have that many
eggs. It's got a re-queue now. Love a queue.
And most importantly, corn on the cob. Great big fart.
Thank you.
Glad you asked. That was really the dinner. It's delicious.
I'm glad we're doing fart jokes again.
Mm-hmm.
We always did fart jokes. We just didn't do them on the radio.
And then for dessert,
dessert,
a toffee crunch ice cream bar. Great big fart. They're very rich.
What, Buzz?
I said those are very rich. Those ice cream bars that Mike had.
See, we got, you know what we got to get for Buzz? One of those is like tiny, petite fart. Because in the whole time that I've known you, Buzz, I really have never known you to just let a beefer go.
No, that's true. I think I did once in Mike's presence, accidentally, but some years ago. I did.
Yeah, once.
Yeah, once. And yeah, after he hit me, right. I never did it
again. That's right. I mean, in your presence, I blinked once, too. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Moominshans.
It was an embrace, and Mike squeezed too tight.
That's right.
Great big fart.
And he slapped me.
Hi! It's me, Super Jew.
Great big fart.
Stay there, we'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
You gotta get on it right away.
Zita Bindua! Zita Bindua!
Stop it, you're scaring me. Oh, cool, you're learning Cassandra's language. I've never seen you so mental over a girl before. You gonna marry her?
Garth. Marriage is punishment for shoplifting in some countries.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the best of Don and Mike.
Simply put, dude, simply put, the best of Don and Mike. Now it's time for a little bit of a hodgepodge and then the telethon finish on the best of Don and Mike.
Rob, please check in your files and find out. We had like the homemade bets on Kenny Chesney and... What's her name, Renee Zellweger?
Yeah, as far as how long the marriage was going to last.
Because it busted up after, what was it, 4 months?
Yeah.
Something like that. And
due to fraud.
She's saying fraud, which means he lied to her about something.
Yeah. Mm.
Now,
what could it be?
I've always had my own
homo
thoughts about...
You're not alone on that.
No shoes, no shirt.
No problem.
No problems.
No, homo.
No problem.
Homo.
He does have that that real clean, sleek, gay look about him.
I was walking around on a bright, sunny day. All my friends were around me, and they all were gay.
Homo.
And there, of course, were rumors about him. Just like there are rumors about Tom Cruise, which he has incidentally proven us all wrong about.
Yes, his marriage is a very...
Fabulous marriage.
Well, is he married yet? I don't know. What his status?
All right. Tomcat.
Tomcat.
Tom and Katie. So anyway, Rob, find out, because I know that we made some type of wager about Kenny Chesney and Renee Zellweger.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to our website, you're going to see, and Mike, you want to check out Buzz's monitor. She did not win the Oscar last night for Desperate Housewives.
And she is a handsome woman.
But we have a great picture of Nicolette Sheridan, and she's wearing a bathing suit. And you're really going to have to go look close, Mike.
I see what you're talking about. No, you know, you'd be surprised. From this distance, I know what you're talking about.
It's not covering up the nozzles.
That's right. There's nippli. It's cold.
Sure
the water is cold. Up.
Wow.
Sure is.
Nicolette Sheridan.
Great big fart.
I don't think so.
Now, why would that happen with lovely Nicolette?
Hi!
I don't know.
It's me, Super Jew.
I don't know.
We're looking in to the show logs to find out our predictions because it was never put in the bet stack.
I remember
saying September 16th was my prediction.
I had
Rob,
November.
You're killing me. Also on our website, so that's like our tie into the Emmy. She didn't win last night. Scroll down, Buzz. Let me see. Here's a picture of, because we're never going to get to the stuff today. It's Siegfried and Roy.
Homo.
Which one is that?
Siegfried and Roy are opening a beer house in Las Vegas.
Oh, I drove by that, the Hofbräu House.
And, did you really when you were out in Vegas?
I almost went, Rob, because they have a Hofbräu House now, and I saw it on my way in from
what
the airport.
Hotel is it?
I don't think it's in a hotel. I think it's standalone.
You're telling me, like, Adolf didn't already know and call me on vacation and say... They have just opened up a beer garden in Las Vegas.
I was so tempted to go in, and I thought maybe it had been there a while.
I just heard about it. I don't know anything about it.
It's a standalone building. I drove by it in Las Vegas, and it looked interesting.
And the last picture, if you scroll up now, Buzz. Okay, you'll see these on our website.
Hot.
Yeah, this is a hot chick.
Who's that? That's Siegfried or Roy.
No, this chick is named Delise Williams. We are getting her on the show. I know you like the show where they fix people's houses up.
Yeah, Extreme Makeover Home
Extreme
Edition.
Makeover. Okay. Mm-hmm. She is suing the show because the night before they were supposed to fix her house and put it on TV, they decided at the last minute that she wasn't right and that her house wasn't right, and her sister killed herself.
Oh, my God.
It's not that one.
Oh, it's not. Oh, it's plastic surgery.
It's the plastic surgery.
Oh, God. I get them all mixed up.
Yeah.
I thought Paul McCartney was Tommy Lee today.
So Extreme Makeover.
It's Extreme Makeover. It's not the house show. It's the face show.
They told her
they were. Oh, I get it. That's why she's so ugly.
Yeah.
Okay. So I thought she was just ugly, and she was an ugly woman that was going to have her house fixed by the guy that screamed.
That house is.
No. You can't cast any stones on my Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Good morning! Come on, Don! We don't do the plastic surgery!
That Dick, do you know that Dick has a radio show now, too?
Does he really?
I mean, it's
got
one
voice for it.
It's one of those syndicated, like, one-minute things.
Ty Pennington!
Okay, well, then my apologies. It's not Extreme House Makeover.
No.
It's Extreme Face Makeover. So
face!
So this ugly chick was supposed to be on the show, and... What did I say? I said it was her house that wasn't right.
Yeah, what was the deal? I mean, they said she wasn't right for...
They couldn't do the surgery in time. There wasn't enough time between air time for the show and the amount of time she'd need to recover and have the surgery.
Is it her or her sister?
No, her sister killed herself.
Right. Why did her sister kill herself? If it was her, was it her plastic surgery?
Hold on.
Otherwise, the lawsuit doesn't work.
Yeah, see, if the ugly woman had killed herself... She couldn't sue.
Right. What if the sister was ugly? I say maybe the story is the sister was promised like this extreme makeover.
This is the woman who was supposed to be made over.
I'm kind of remembering it, Mike.
Okay.
The woman that we have the picture of is the woman who was promised a new face on the show. Her sister, after she did not get the plastic surgery,
was so distraught.
Her sister killed herself.
Because she was so upset.
So now they are suing the show.
Okay.
She only shops at midnight. She's so sad about the way she looks. That's what they said. She
really?
And according to our records,
to go
you said in a year the marriage is done. This is Renee Zellweger and Kenny Chesney. And Mike, ever seeing, I'd say by September it's done.
Wow.
Mike's the winner?
Wow. Winner, Mike.
Winner.
Winner.
I'm big
boy. Now, there's no reason to play that there.
Excitement.
There is no reason.
Excitement.
There. Not fair.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
Hey, that Hopper Owl's been there for at least 3 years.
In Vegas?
Yeah, it's right kitty corner with the Hard Rock.
I thought it just opened. That's why we have the picture of Supreme
and Roy. It's Oktoberfest, and that's it. But it's been there 3 years.
And they always, and it's Vegas, so that's why they celebrate Oktoberfest in September.
Thank you for checking in from Las Vegas. Anyway, those are the pictures on the website,
right.
So check them out. I know you don't care about the ugly woman, and you don't care about Siegfried and Roy, but if you want to see...
Nipple at Cheryl.
Right, there she is.
I should point out that Roy is standing in that picture.
And also got...
Or is he propped up?
Floyd on Andy of Mayberry.
That's some... Fine beer.
You know, at the very end, Floyd had all those strokes.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm going to be just leaning in. And then you'd see the edit where they had Floyd leaning up against the barber counter.
Yep.
And then the quick cut would be, well, I'm going to drive to Mount Pilot now.
And it was back in the day when you would open up the car and it was just one big bucket seat.
Yeah.
So you could get it on the passenger side and allegedly slide over to the driver's side.
So Floyd would be leaning up against the passenger side door and the next edit would be Floyd driving to Mount Pilot, but it was a stunt driver.
The very best with Floyd is if he leaned in a door.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, the thing on that lady who whose sister killed herself?
Yes, honey.
Her whole family had a... like say really rotten things about how ugly she was,
right?
And that was why her sister had a like diss about how bad she looked all her life. And
wait, the sister or the lady?
The lady who was getting the work done.
Oh, I hold on, I remember this now as well. Yeah, you know, yeah. God, I was not ready for. I mean, I'm ready for the show, but
right.
I know
there's
the story.
So
but there's so much crap. This is like left over from a couple of days ago. This is stuff we should have had on the show last week. Her sister, part of the deal was, they went and interviewed members of her family to say, isn't your sister ugly? Or how long has it bothered your sister that she has been, that she looks like a dog's ass?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And that's the way they put it on the show.
And then the sister felt bad. And
the dog's ass killed herself.
Yeah. Oh, so the sister felt so bad about what she said on TV?
Because the other sister heard her. She was in the other room, supposedly, and heard all her family say how ugly she was. Even her mother-in-law said, I can't believe my son married such an ugly woman. I mean, it was like, come on. And then they say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't do your surgery, sorry.
Oh, so when they say that, then the sister kills herself.
Right, because she felt so bad that she had said these things about her sister.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that exactly what I said 20 minutes ago?
No, I know.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
And then, Don, you didn't read the last paragraph.
What was that?
And then they knocked their house down.
Don and Mike show.
Hello, people.
Hi there.
Hey, I guess somebody beat me to the punch on that with that lady who killed herself.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Hey, well, you guys are the radio gods. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
See you, loser.
Yeah, and then they called him the biggest loser. They tied them all together.
They don't have a response for that. The guy calls and says nothing, and then says we're radio gods. No, we're not. If we are radio gods, we would have done something with that insipid phone
call.
This
wouldn't have happened.
They also didn't mention that the sister had to eat hissing cockroaches
for fear factor.
We get jokes.
I ate one.
I get jokes. Mm-hmm. And one other thing happened that I wanted to get to before. God. Oh. We are gone too long. We are really gone. I mean, I needed it before.
But we're back now.
We were gone too long. Incidentally, not that I'm counting. Is it really 3 months until we get on the vacation? God, thank God. Thanksgiving's coming.
Yeah, got a little break in there.
Dying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dying. We've been back to work for an hour, 45 minutes today.
Short show today.
But what is the deal with no Columbus Day?
Jesus. On one of the websites last week, there was in all of the coverage about Katrina.
Yeah.
Remember when they were going through the debacle of giving the debit cards mm-hmm. to people down at the Astrodome?
$2,000 debit cards.
$2,000. Mm-hmm. Some of the $2,000 cards showed up at a strip club. The name of the strip club is Baby Dolls.
Wow.
And they interviewed people, and they said to them, oh, what are you doing? I saw more than one guy interviewed on TV.
Right.
Where they said, what are you doing? And the guy said, listen, I've been living in a stadium
yes.
for a week.
Sure.
I got no house. I got no nothing. You give me $2,000. I want to see some naked girls.
Why not?
And I want to have a couple of drinks. Allegedly, that is part of why they started taking back the debit cards, because they found that people weren't going out and buying, like, Pampers with them.
Yeah.
Guys are going to strip clubs. Also, people were going out. They said...
strip clubs.
They said, well, besides the strip clubs, mm-hmm. I think in the, like, 15,000 debit cards that were handed out, there was some incredible number, like, over 1,000 iPods bought. You know, so you don't have a house.
You forget your troubles if you can listen to your favorite tune.
Yeah, but hold on. Where are you going to go to download it?
Can't you go to... Yeah, I guess you really can't.
You're living in the Astrodome.
You have to have your own computer, don't
you're
you?
You're living in the Astrodome, but you go to Best Buy with your debit card to buy an iPod.
Luckily, they have Wi-Fi at Baby Dolls.
That's right. Sit down there with your laptop, watch the strippers, and download tunes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don Mike.
Right, hi.
My name's Todd. Used to live in Las Vegas. Have a great Jerry Lewis story for
you. All right, Todd.
Born and raised, he used to come to my next-door neighbor's house every year after the telethon. I guess they were golfing buddies or something. And supposedly the story was he didn't want to be around the hotel's casinos and the noise and all his fame and fans chasing him. So he'd come camp out at their house for 2 or 3 days. And he would come out screaming every afternoon when the kids were playing out in the street and out in the yards that we were interrupting his sleep, and he was the ultimate a-hole.
Jerry.
And we dealt with this for probably, I don't know, 3 years in a row.
Hi!
Age 10 to 12.
It's me, Super Jew.
You're interrupting my sleep.
Thank you for the call.
Wow.
Thank you, Todd.
That would be in between changing into new pairs of socks.
That's right. You know, we're way off track now. We got to get back to Jerry.
Okay.
I know that we're going just like out of sequence here, from thought to thought to thought.
Trying to get it all in, you know, because we're truncated.
That's what we do.
Too bad. And also, while we're doing that whole thing, I am also holding in...
great big fart.
Let it go.
That's what I do.
Here's Jerry on the telethon, getting back to the Jerry Lewis telethon tapes. Popsicles that Jerry loves.
Hello.
Wait, yes. On behalf of Safeway, we appreciate and love you so much for what you're doing for the survivors of Hurricane Katrina. It's so wonderful that you're doing this.
Thank you.
And we've done our part, too. We're helping as well. Last 4 days, we've kicked into high gear, and we've raised $1.1 million
in
the last 4 years.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, you give them all my love at Safeway.
Popsicles.
Here we go. Thanks for my present.
You're welcome.
We have to be careful. Always very, very careful of a conflict of interest. Sometimes some of the sponsors want to get a present over to me, and it's very nice, but we have to just back down. Because conflict of interest is very, very important to watch.
but I think I'm okay to announce that Safeway sent me popsicles that I love, and I ate four of them before the show.
Four of them.
I want to thank them very much for it.
Hey.
Oh, I want you to welcome one of the best performers you've ever seen in your life.
Good segue.
It's Ron Lucas, ladies and gentlemen, right here.
Florida.
Ron Lucas.
Hey.
You know, there's a lot of that good, marvelous, and
right
here.
Well, have they ever estimated Jerry Lewis's fortune? I mean, he did well, right? He did well with his movie rights.
If
he really cared.
He needs the free popsicle.
If he really cared, there would be no kids with MD today. Mm-hmm. If he really cared.
And
with all of his money.
He also made...
You know what I mean.
I know.
Yeah. And really, at some point...
You say that. I love it when you say that.
Aren't you getting frustrated at some point? Mm-hmm. Ever since I've been a kid. I mean, I'm talking about like 40 years. They raise millions and millions and millions of dollars every year.
Every year.
Come on. Speed things up.
Get going.
When you see $60 million on the tote, you know, that doesn't include the corporate checks.
Right.
That's just $60 million from people.
Right. Wow.
And, you know, there's millions from the firefighters and all that.
And a lot of that goes, we have to be honest, a lot of that goes towards his popsicles.
That's right.
Here's Ed.
Lozenges.
It's been too long since we've had Ed. I want to hear Ed.
Here's some Ed.
Representing the convenience store industry, let's welcome the retail zone.
Ed, is Ed not almost as good as Jerry now?
Yeah.
Jerry, here we go.
He slurs right in the beginning.
Right.
Representing the convenience store industry, let's welcome the retail zone manager for Valero Energy Corporation, Danny Meadows.
Danny Meadows, he gets out.
Thank you.
I'm proud to be on Valero's team and to represent the hundreds of convenience store operators, so I'm proud to present this third and final industry check to MDA, which brings the convenience store industry's total to $4,100,000.
He's got the wrong accent for that representative. I'm very proud.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well appreciated. Boom.
Well appreciated.
Pouring it in, Ed. All right, I like it.
You like more loose slippage of plates than you pour. Dinner plates, piano keys.
What is that stuff you use to hold the dentures in?
Poly grip.
That's what you need to just hand out at the stage door.
Yeah. Poly grip, Ed.
All right, one more before break. Here we go. This is a cluster F. Missed cues.
Oh, good.
Ed is lost, and the tote board actually goes from $25.8 million to $25.3
million. Very good.
That they lose $500,000. It goes down, minus on this tote.
Where are my popsicles?
All right, I need some music, and I need a picture of the pledge board, and I need a shield roll. Let me have it.
Demanding it.
Here it comes.
There it is. Wait a minute.
Here it comes.
Oh, her again. Yes.
There it is. $25,342,89.
Great big fart. He still can't do it. Why doesn't he practice?
Is that the annoying Jan Carl that's up there with him?
Yeah, she does entertainment tonight, I guess, and she's horrible.
24,5,382,94.
All right, I need some music, and I need a picture of the pledge board, and I need a shield roll.
Right now, nothing is happening.
Let me have it.
And then silence.
Here it comes.
There it is. Wait a minute.
Here it comes. All right.
There it is. $25,342,89.
God. How long has it been since we've had one of those good rambling with the numbers kind of trailing off?
And I need a picture, and I need, and you're screwing up, and so am I.
Okay, we got more when we come back. More Ed screwing up the totes.
Very good.
I do want to hear Jerry sing. God, that's always great.
At the end.
And you got his. Now, how are we actually going to hear his lozenge falling out of his mouth?
You have to take my word for it. There's just a small hiccup in him talking. Just know that it happens.
Is it, now, does it happen when he's singing or
no,
when he's talking?
Just.
Whoa.
Larry King.
How the hell did they do that?
They do that.
Jeez.
All right.
Whoa. I'm standing right here, and I'm looking for the illusion, and it still don't hit me. By the way, we know we've got the terrible hurricane effect, so we're asking you to dig deeper this year. You've got two things you have to help. A lot of people who need it, and a lot of kids who need it. Ed?
Hi! It's me, Super.
super Jew.
Great big fart. Is that an emotional appeal from Larry or what? They need it, so dig deep. Yeah, thank you.
That's Larry.
We got this hurricane.
Representing the convenience store industry, let's welcome the retail zone manager for Valero Energy Corporation.
Okay, all right.
Thank you very much. 325-392.
Oh. Wow.
I get tears here.
Amici forever, take a bow.
Hey, great talent they get on this show.
Wow.
Amici forever. That's all Larry says?
Gary knows how to get them, doesn't he? Let's go to the tape. Watch.
Let's go to the tape. Watch. And Larry's doing a lot of the Brooklyn speak.
Yes.
You know, where a lot of the D's, Dem, and Dozen that he does went, yeah, there we go. How about that? Huh? I didn't see that illusion.
Right. Great big fart.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Cousin! What do you think of my spread, huh? Can you believe it? They used to test H-bombs on this beautiful piece of property.
Eddie, don't you worry about radiation.
All I know, Clark, is that my teeth have never been whiter and my garden is spitting out 50-pound tomatoes.
The Don and Mike Show.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The Best of Don and Mike.
Welcome back to The Best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, legendary Joe Arger, with ya.
Sunday morning ever,
and I wanted to remind you that for all things going on, Don and Mike, go to donandmikewebsite.com. You can pick and click and scratch and sniff and catch up on all the goings on Don and Mike. So, with that out of the way, let's get into the best of some more here. This is a good one. I enjoyed it. This guy is a funny guy. He's an old guy, but he's a funny guy. It's the Dick Cavett phoner on the best of Don and Mike.
So now he's on Route 66, and we're going to call Dick Cavett in his car. For those of you who don't know, back in the day, Dick Cavett had a cutting-edge talk show where you could find John Lennon,
right.
David Bowie,
right.
Lots of people. Hello, Dick.
Is that you?
Yeah,
there he is.
This is Dick Don and Cavett.
Yeah. The great Dick Cavett, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, sir, how are you?
And apparently one person there agrees with you.
We have a small cast in here, Dick.
We are so sad that you were not able to make it because of the traffic.
Decided we'd much rather go to a movie than come out there and... Oh, I'm sorry. Are we on the air?
Yes. But we understand.
Damn it. Well, listen, I'll have you... Would you be my guest at the Waldorf for a weekend?
Sure. Yeah, we'd love to do that. Thanks so much.
Sure.
We're there.
I mean,
Dick Cavett is...
I sort of overrode what you were saying.
No,
you were introducing yourselves in a polite way.
This is Don. I'm Mike. And this is Buzz, our newsman, who is, I believe, your biggest fan that's here.
I'm right? A huge fan. Have been for years.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz?
Oh, really? Yeah, I met another one in New Jersey.
Decades, actually.
Sing the theme to the Dick Cavett Show, Buzz.
Well, there are two of them, and there are no lyrics, so I have to do it in scat.
Please do.
One was...
Ba-da-da-da-da-da,
ba-da-da-da-da,
ba-da-da-da-da-da. Actually, I think it was written by my trumpet player. It was kind of a good... melody, until my nasty writers got Beverly Sills one night to conspire with them as I answered the questions, what is that, they revealed to me on the air that the lyrics to it were Little Dicky Cavett.
I thought so.
He's a happy guy.
I thought I remembered that.
Did you vomit from this?
And the other one, the fast one, was da 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 da. Another trumpet tune.
Respectable, but they got... Beverly Sills to come out one night and say, before I begin, I want to do something. And she went center stage and sang, Little Dick,
remember that.
Genius. And I still cringe, whatever. The other one is Candide from Leonard Bernstein's Candide.
And you had Leonard...
That one. The Jewel song, if you want to impress your friends.
Yeah.
And I do.
Dick Cavett was a guy.
He's also called Glitter and Be Gay.
Oh.
Still is a guy.
Whichever one you like.
Dick Cavett had a late night talk show,
mm-hmm.
which is like back... Dick, I'm 46. I'll be 47 soon. So back in the day when your show was on, it would be, I'd watch you or David Susskind if I wanted to watch something that I thought was a little more cutting edge than Johnny.
You were clearly a special boy.
I was a happy boy.
What'd you say about Johnny?
I would watch you instead of Johnny. I would watch, because, for instance, if I was up late at night, Johnny would have, let's say, Don Rickles on. Well, Dick Cavett would have on freaking John Lennon.
Mm-hmm. For a young guy.
So now, who wouldn't want to watch
right.
you sit in those mod late 60s chairs and just rap with John Lennon? How many great, let's just keep this to rock and roll, how many great icons did you have on the Dick Cavett Show? Who's your favorite?
Of the rock people?
Yeah, the rock people. Right.
You know, I never realized how many I had until this project started, and I used to say I have more dead rock stars on tape, unfortunately, than anybody else. And it was, somebody said, not only true, you know, it's getting truer every day. Mm-hmm. After I said that, both Janis and Jimi Hendrix joined the silent majority.
Wow.
And it was just awful how many are dead. But it's amazing how many are alive. And Jagger, of course, is never going to stop.
Right, right.
The night I saw his show, before doing a show with him the next day,
Cavett
came out of the very top, it seemed, of Madison Square Garden and came flying through the air and arching downward and downward and then crashed a foot from him and turned to powdered glass.
Oh, really?
It was a Coke bottle.
Wow.
That would have killed him instantly. But when you've been to the London School of Economics, you know how to avoid such things.
So he was aware of it? It landed close enough for him to realize that that had happened?
Absolutely, yeah. Just down. And he didn't. It didn't after that.
Did you, when you interviewed him the next night, did you talk about that, his near-death experience?
You know, I think so. I'm not absolutely certain.
Right.
If I didn't, I should have.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly can't tell you.
Okay.
Since I knew him a bit in private life as well, I'd probably talk to him about it then. I think I say on one of the things to make, when you and I were showing, which seems like a terrible non sequitur, but it was just my way of letting people know that he and I were the two greatest buddies since Duck Finn and
what Dick Cavett is, what Dick is discussing is the show is out on DVD now, and you can go to Amazon.com for the Dick Cavett Show Rock Icons.
Wow.
And what's great is that you get on this DVD not only, I'm going to be like a huckster here, but you get not only the rock performances, but for instance, one of the shows that I remember watching when I was a kid from 1970s when you had Sly and the Family Stone on. Very hard to find Sly and the Family Stone on TV. And I remember that they did, I want to thank you for letting me be Mice Elf again, on the same show. It's Debbie Reynolds and Pancho Gonzalez, the tennis guy.
Right.
Now, if you want to talk about an eclectic mix that I remember as a kid.
You couldn't have a show like that today.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid watching, but... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Inspired booking, I remember, I can remember the look on some people's faces as Sly finished the number, the applause came, and he came down, and obviously, but it couldn't be possible, say it isn't true, he's going to sit down and talk.
That is fantastic. You know, we can't have anybody that is hosted the talk show without, I always ask this question, as far as the thing that stands out in your illustrious career of the most embarrassing moment with TV, I mean, still, you know, relatively young medium at that point, what was the most embarrassing thing that ever happened when you were actually doing the talk show?
You know, I've always been amazed at and suspicious of people who can remember their most embarrassing. I spoke to a psychiatrist about this once. He said, well, of course, because you're doing everything to suppress it.
Right.
You probably can't bring it to mind.
Right.
And until somebody mentions whoopee cushion,
mm-hmm.
You forget being suckered into sitting on one. I do remember telling someone that I really loved her record and it wasn't out yet. I remember just stumbling and saying, I'm kidding, of course.
That's a simple one, but I like that.
Now, here's a serious question about the state of TV today. How come with 8,000 goddamn channels, there's not someone like you doing a show on one of these channels where it's just one-on-one interviews, not beating you over the head politically one way or another. You didn't have a variety show. You had a talk show, an intelligent talk show. How come there's not a Dick Cavett on TV now?
When I leave town, I'm going to leave you my number.
No, really. I mean,
if by that time you have the answer to that, I'd love to know.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, because I watch
it. I'm just raring to do a show, and I'm thinking, oh, God, all those years, I didn't realize how lucky I was to last more than 2 weeks.
Right.
You forget a lot of painful aspects of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of winnow those out and just think of what fun it was constantly, every moment of the day and night, which of course it wasn't at all, but there were times that were just real highs where you just thought, God, I should quit now.
You know, everybody,
a lot of listeners, neither name will mean anything. I mean, none of three will mean anything, perhaps. But the night I left with Noel Coward, Alfred Love, and Lynn Fontan, I just thought, I should quit. You can't get better than this.
Right.
Or a show with the rock people that would be really reach emotional heights in the studio. Where you thought, they pay me to do this?
Sure. Yeah.
Or they pay me to sit with Groucho Marx?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it. I never have seen a check, so maybe they didn't.
Who was your favorite Beatle?
Of the Beatles?
Yeah.
How's that for a witty answer?
Yeah, there you go.
Favorite Beatle of the Beatles?
Duh, yeah.
Yeah, I liked George Harrison, and I knew John best, and I'd only met the other guys, Ringo, once in an airport.
Yeah, but musically speaking, and just getting to know all of them, you know, everybody has a favorite. Who was your? I'm sure the rest won't feel sly. Who was your favorite?
Of the folks on this DVD?
No, of the Beatles, of the four Beatles, of John,
of
Paul,
Beatles.
John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
If you're forcing me to choose, I would have to say John.
Mm-hmm.
I had more time, more events in my life with him, including trying to help keep the Nixon administration from bouncing his ass out of the country.
Right.
Hold on, let's check that answer. He said John Lennon.
That's right.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right answer?
That's the correct answer.
Correct answer, Dick.
That's correct.
True.
John Lennon is correct as the number one Beatle.
What do I win?
Well, another plug for the Dick Cavett Show, Rock Icons.
There you go.
Now on DVD, and you can get it at Amazon.com. So, dude, if I may call you that, respectfully, dude, what are you doing now? Do you mentor anybody? Do you speak? Are you living like the Unabomber? What are you doing?
I do the occasional appearance, an evening with Nick Cavett.
Right.
That's almost always wonderful. So far, I've never gotten an absolutely bad audience as I did one night at the Hungry Eye nightclub. Heard myself say, why don't you all just get the hell out of
here?
I used to have it on tape, so because I played it for Woody Allen, who, by the way, had written me a letter warning me about the Hungry Eye.
Yeah.
that it was the hip days when it nurtured Shelley Berman and Mort Saul and so on were long past.
Right.
That was kind of...
You know, the most recent incarnation of you on television that I watched, and I thought it was a fascinating documentary, was the story of your house, Tick Fair. I think that's what it's called.
Oh yeah,
and that was the most fascinating documentary of this incredible house that you lived in, and it burned to the ground, and then you rebuilt it, and it just seemed to me the documentary was so superb with that. I said, did you burn the house down on purpose to get this great television?
It was the fact that my wife found the right personnel in every case, including restoring the house, duplicating it so that people who from abroad who never heard of this can't believe that it isn't the house they visited me in 10 years ago.
Right.
From the ashes of the rebuilding of Tick Hall, I think it is.
Tick Hall,
Tick,
right.
Tick as in the insect.
Yeah, I see, right.
The babesiosis, another horrible thing, and Hall. because it had belonged to some old Wall Street bankers and fishermen types. But the documentary is good in a lot of ways because there's a lot of social history around that time of the what was going on in the world.
You still living there?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's spooky because I will say I can never forget the night I came out and woke up and wondered if anybody else was up. And then I heard Muhammad Ali come down the stairs and say, "You love your house, don't you, Dick?" Ali stayed overnight one night. He was staying in a motel, and I learned that he didn't like it. And I said, "Come stay at my house." So,
not many people can say they had Muhammad Ali stay
show
over.
Show off.
My wife called while I was off getting Ali's wife from the hotel late at night. She called. I didn't answer, but she thought I had and said, "Darling," and a voice said in her ear, "This isn't darling, but I'm the only three-time heavyweight champion of the
world." That's great.
Did I mention Mike Tyson is staying with me?
Mike Tyson's staying with you currently, right?
Yeah, no. Right now Mike Tyson is staying with me. Dick, it has been a pleasure. I wish we could see you in person. Are you wearing a corduroy jacket with the patches on the sleeves?
Did I ever?
I think at one point in your career, you may have been caught in a few photographs.
I might have been photographed in it, but generally I usually just wore a simple robe and a simple veil.
The great Dick Cavett.
Let me tell you one quote from Janis Joplin quickly.
Okay. Sure, please do. Please
on the show, it's on there. Raquel Welch says, "I think Janis should play the part of the virgin." I forgot what we've been talking about.
Right.
And Janis looks at Raquel and says, "Ain't that good an actress, honey?"
This is a great DVD, The Dick Cavett Show, Rock Icons. You can go to Amazon.
You get whole shows on it. That surprised me.
That's very cool.
And I hope are you making some coin off this, Dick?
Well, an order poured in this morning.
There you go.
All right.
That's great.
Okay.
It's Amazon.com, and when our website is back up, DonnaMikeWebsite.com, we'll have a link. Sorry that we couldn't get you in here.
Real pleasure talking to you, Dick.
You'll get me sometime, and you'll be damn sorry.
Very good.
Great talking to you. Hold on a second, please. A second. Nuz, would you like a chance to speak personally to Dick Cavett?
Well, I certainly would.
Pick up line 6.
All right,
do you have the other request lines in there?
No, actually, it looks like I don't. No, I have no lines lighted.
What do you want?
So
do you want
perhaps
do you want,
another time.
Do you want to come in here and just pick up the phone and talk to him?
With everybody listening? I don't know what I would. Honestly, I don't know what I'd add at this point. I'm a huge fan, and I think I got that point across. Bye.
Dick's going to be very disappointed.
Why don't you come back and pick up the phone?
All right. Wait a minute. He had Muhammad Ali stay at his house because he was uncomfortable at the motel. Why don't you call him and say you don't feel like staying at your house tonight? Could you stay at his hotel? I like that idea.
Why don't you just come over here and pick up the phone and sing his silly song to him?
Well.
You know, and sing it with the words. You know, Dick Cavett is a happy boy or whatever the goddamn words were. Okay, there he's on line 6.
Mr. Cavett?
Hi, we came up with that because I'm a big fan, and I remember your show very clearly from the early and mid-1970s when every time I would turn on Carson, he would have on George Siegel and the whole Las Vegas gang, and I could turn on your show.
Buzz is shaking right now, just like when we ask him to deal poker.
Your style, your approach.
He's letting it all out.
So much to me. And
he's using his hands to talk.
I just wanted a chance to tell you that, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Now sing the song for him.
This is Buzz. I do the news on the Don and Mike show, and they ask me if...
Dance, monkey, dance. Sing for the man.
They asked if I would like to pick up and say hello to you.
Now, come on, sing for him.
Now, Dick is saying something.
I was just listening to what Dick Cavett is saying.
Well, I seriously doubt that. But and the other thing I wanted to ask you is I'm not all that comfortable at my house. I was wondering if I could come stay at yours.
I think Buzz getting a kick out of this like he was Brian Wilson.
Buzz is a TV historian. You know what, really, the one thing about that collection of Dick Cavett, that's kind of like pop culture history if you watch those shows, because he had everybody.
Buzz on the phone got his hand in his
very
pocket.
Very bright
now.
Colors.
Little he's pocket a, pool
yeah,
action.
Yeah, he's got his hand in his pocket, and it's moving.
Okay, now sing his theme. Just sing.
That's great. Well,
He's hard to get a word in edgewise.
I know.
Those were amazing times, and, you know, obviously, it was the Nixon years. There was a lot to think about, a lot to talk about, and you were the perfect guy for the time.
Ah, la, la.
You remind me of Mort Saul.
Dick Cavett is a happy boy.
You have a very interesting way of speaking, Mr. Burbank, and I'm wondering if there's a chance that you could visit me when you come to Tick Hall. Thank you. Yeah,
listen to this.
Well, I'm looking forward to these DVDs.
I don't want to talk to you anymore, Burbank. You're a silly ass.
Just sing, boy.
Don is forcing Buzz awkwardly to sing to Mr. Cabot.
Whatever he's saying to you now, just start singing, Buzz.
That's so true.
Just start singing.
Buzz is enjoying Buzz's thing.
Well,
no.
My time draws to an end.
He's not going to sing.
Do a little humming as we go out.
No, so. Sing it with the words. The cat is a happy boy.
They want me to sing the words. I hope that doesn't embarrass you too much. Little Dickie Cavett, he's a lucky guy. Little Dickie Cavett.
This is awkward on so many levels.
Anyway.
There's the folk line.
Anyway.
Gotta go. Sir, I won't.
And Dick is still talking.
He's still talking.
It's a great privilege to be able to chat with you. I'm sorry we didn't get to meet in person. Maybe perhaps another time.
Little Dickie Cavett. He's a happy boy. God.
That's what happened out to Pothole.
God, can he talk?
He can talk, and he talks deliberately. Not as fast as he used to talk on the TV show.
Thank you, Mr. Cabot. Bye-bye.
Hey, Buzz, how awkward was that?
How'd that go, Skippy?
You know, it wasn't awkward at all, and Dick Cavett does like to talk, as you found out on the air just a moment ago. And he finished and launched into some other stories, finished some stories that he'd sort of started on the air.
Sure.
So I got to hear the rest of those.
Oh, very good.
You got to sing a little song for him.
Maybe I'll share them with you sometime.
You know, we would have heard all of them if they were told faster.
He might still be talking.
You never knew.
Well, Buzz, as long as we're on a roll, and we got a break to talk to our good friend, Penn Jillette.
Of course.
Do you have your Welcome to Lowe's music around?
Oh, God. Yeah, I think so.
Go ahead.
Check the cabinet where you normally keep
it. As long as you're singing. I mean, you just sang to Dick Cavett. Here now is Buzz singing the theme to his favorite movie chain, Lowe's.
Regale us, Buzz. Let's regale us.
Get the sucker to work here.
How's the card?
So far, it's working great. Let's try this one.
Probably quite old.
Let's try this one.
Oh, you might have to do an acapella, Buzz.
Quite old.
There you go.
It's that audio quality.
Louder, Buzz.
Sit back and relax. Enjoy the show.
You gotta do it again and turn your mic up.
The mix surprised even me there.
Turn your microphone up.
This is the Fright Break.
How do you like
that sound?
Here's the dance mix. You know, AMC
Theaters welcomes you to the exciting world of the movie.
Is merging with Lowe's. And I hope they bring back this jingle.
Smoking is not too much.
Why are you so far away?
Turn your level up. Turn your mic up.
The lady is talking.
Gift certificate.
But now, are you going to sing this time?
Yes.
How come your microphone is so far away?
We're going to talk it up.
It's not.
Thanks for helping.
We can hardly hear you.
We can't hear you.
I'll turn it off.
There you go. Louder, please.
Litter and trash receptacles in the lobby.
Oh, God. You and your movie lady.
Please be considerate.
And don't talk during the show.
Thank you for coming to Lowe's. Sit back and relax. Enjoy the show.
Oh, God, I love a good jingle.
I love hearing him sing. I truly do.
I love hearing him try to run the equipment on there.
Some of these machines haven't been used in 10 years.
I don't know if you're aware of it. The volume on the Lowe's cart.
Yes.
That was about this loud.
Okay.
You talking and singing.
Uh-huh. I don't know what happened there.
Seriously,
I really don't.
Seriously, it was like this.
Yeah, no,
thank
I know.
Thank you for coming to Lowe's. Sit back and relax. Enjoy the show.
But meanwhile, the lady that's, saying, don't talk.
You got to get ready to go.
Wow. If I'd had more time to prepare, it would have been a perfect
one. And the interview was fine with Dick Cavett. It's when he would tell the stories.
With the pausing.
It would be just a little pausing.
We will be right back, everybody.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
The writing is delicious.
The Don and Mike Show. Like corn.
You enjoy.
enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
I was waiting for that dude intro. You see, last night I had corn. And today I enjoyed it a second time. And you are enjoying the best of Don and Mike today. I'm your host, the legendary Joe Arnton, with you on this fine Thursday afternoon. Don and Mike returning Tuesday, July 11th. And we've got a lot more best of for you between now and then. But I'll tell you what, we all love this next segment because we all love Charlie. It's Charlie and the Bees on the best of Don and Mike.
Hi, Charlie.
Did you give me puppet shot tonight?
I didn't know you were. Excuse me. What happened there? I didn't know you were a parrot head.
I'm a big fan.
Huh?
It's the best music. It's fun.
Can you name any Jimmy Buffett songs?
No. No, but they're fun. They're like cheeseburgers.
Now why?
Cheeseburgers. Cheeseburgers.
Why do you have on the grass skirt and why do you have the coconuts on your breast?
That's what you do when you go into the concert. You have a great time. And I'm really, really late. It's great though. La 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 la. We go on the boat and we have a good time.
What?
Mr. Homo Joe said I should wear only this skirt.
Homo.
And that's all I'm wearing tonight.
Oh, but,
I've got the grass skirt. Look. That's all I have.
There's nothing underneath.
Oh. Hey. That's all I have on, Mr. Rob.
Now, why do you also have the coconut shells over your boobs?
Because Mr. Joe, Homo Joe, said it would be funny. Don't you think it's funny? Look, I've got real breasts.
Yes.
This is big fun. Wasted away. I don't know all the words.
Do you think anybody will take...
Oh, sorry, Rob.
Do you think anybody will take your temperature tonight?
I hope so.
Really?
It doesn't matter. Last time I was there, they had a big jar. And in the jar was something I drank. And then I woke up and I didn't remember it.
At the Jimmy Buffett show?
Yeah. It made me sleepy.
But somebody,
really sleepy.
Somebody took your temperature, though?
Somebody did something back there. You know what I mean, though?
Yeah, Charlie, I think I do.
Pretty bad stuff.
Charlie?
How are you?
Are you ready for the news story?
I'm ready for the news story. Okay. What are we doing today?
I hear this is on the Charlie interview.
Charlie interview time?
Yeah. Here's your headline.
The coconuts disguise my third nipple. Look, three coconuts, a little one right here.
Okay. Charlie,
more like a wart.
Charlie?
Mm-hmm.
20,000 bees infest an Oklahoma family home.
Man!
That's right.
That's scary.
Now, the guy's name is Eric, and his wife's name is Jackie.
Jackie.
And they live in Oklahoma, and they have...
Eric and Jackie, lots of bees.
They have 20,000 bees in their home. Are they ready for the call, Rob?
Yes,
I get it.
Which number? This one?
Highlighted one, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
20,000 bees. Bees can sting you.
Yes, only they can. Once.
But they're good. Because they make honey. They do, Rob. They make honey.
Why are you looking at Rob like that?
He was giving me that look.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, is this Eric?
This is Eric.
Eric, please stand by. This is Westwood One Radio.
All right.
Please stand by for the Charlie Show. And hi, Charlie.
Hello. Today we're talking with a man named Eric, who lives in a house that has 20,000 bees. Hello, Eric, and welcome to the Charlie interview.
Hello.
Hello, Charlie. Can you say hello, Charlie?
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Eric. So, tell me, what's it like to have 20,000 bees in your house?
It's not as sweet as it sounds.
That was a joke, right? That's great. I like bees because they make honey, but I don't like them because they sting you. Have you ever been stung by a bee in your house?
Not since I was a kid, no.
So you had 20,000 bees and none of them stung you. That means they must be nice.
They are very nice.
Nice bees.
So,
nice
tell me,
bees.
Eric, how do you make your living?
A video photographer.
Oh, you take pictures.
Yes.
I know people that do that.
Hey, Charlie.
They come by the radio station all the time.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes, Don?
Nice bees.
Nice bees.
You give a joke?
Yeah.
You know, like Ben Affleck?
Nice bees.
bees.
Yeah, like
bees.
Balls.
Like down there.
Yeah. Except they're really bees, B-double-E-S.
Did anybody in your family ever get stung?
Yes, my three-year-old son did get stung by one of the bees.
I bet you're not supposed to leave out sweets in your house, or the bees will come out of where they're living. Where did they live in your house?
They were in the wall upstairs.
Ooh, scary. Did you get any honey from the bees?
Actually, yes. We got about 3 or 4 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Charlie.
That's more honey than you need for the whole year.
You could ask him a question about Honey Nut Cheerios.
Do you like Honey Nut Cheerios?
Yes.
Have you ever eaten honeycomb cereal?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Honeycomb cereal is like my favorite. It looks like the beehive, right?
Exactly.
Is honey like bee poop?
Well, it's more like bee upchuck.
Ooh! But it doesn't taste like throw-up. It tastes more like upchuck. Like sweet stuff that you put on pancakes.
I suppose it's an acquired taste.
Who helped you get rid of your bees?
We had some professional bee people come out, and they used a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, no! Did that hurt?
No, you might say that sucked.
You are so funny, Eric.
Why is that? Will you
That's so funny.
Explain that joke to me, Charlie. I didn't get it.
I can't. I was faking it.
Okay. The guy said it sucked?
Yeah.
What's a vacuum cleaner do?
It cleans the house.
No, but what does it do specifically?
Okay, it cleans the carpet.
Let me rephrase.
Okay.
What does the lady upstairs do? You know the lady upstairs that works in the office upstairs? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, like that.
Yeah.
No, that's not what he meant, is it? Oh, my God. Hey, what are you having for dinner tonight, Eric?
Well, probably going to have honey roasted chicken.
And, you know,
that's a honey joke.
Listen, I'm not one to keep a secret.
And, honey, I miss you.
The young lady's name is Keisha.
She's good people, though.
Well, I know that she's been getting into your white chocolate, hasn't she?
Absolutely. Well, all the girls do. All the girls do.
All the girls like you,
yeah,
Charlie?
Yeah, yeah. Miss Latta, Miss Fullman.
Joan and Robbie.
Yeah, they all do it. Miss Fullman.
Julie likes
all
you?
All the time. Yeah. Charlie, move the desk. Charlie, move the copier. Charlie, move the copier again. Ooh, sorry. I know what's going on. You and Rob told me.
That's right.
And
right.
I like it. Feels good.
But, Charlie.
Feels good. Why not?
What they're doing is...
Feels real good.
They're taking advantage of you, Charlie.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Mr. Spiewak told me that it's not taking advantage of if it feels good to you, Charlie.
How old are you, Charlie?
63. Three. 60. How old are you? 64. I'm sorry, I'm 64.
Forgot.
My birthday is December 13th. And I have it every year. How are you, Eric?
I just turned a half a century.
Half a century? That means 20 years old!
Right, Charlie, good job.
Oh, my God!
Good job on that.
But the bees stung your little boy.
Well, just one, and barely.
I would have stomped them all! I would have squished them all, because they're bad that way. What's so funny about that?
Just the image
with
of...
With Joan and Robbie and Julie, it feels nice, but then I feel bad.
What?
Like I've done something bad.
With who?
I feel like shame.
No, you shouldn't.
I feel bad.
You feel shame?
I do afterwards. I feel good for like a second,
right.
And then I feel really bad.
Do you feel shame or do you feel ashamed?
I'm embarrassed.
You're ashamed.
I'm embarrassed because I feel so good. You know?
Uh-huh.
You ever been like that, Eric?
Yes, I have.
It's really bad. You know what I mean? It's like you feel good for a second, and right. Then you feel kind of weird.
Is that when the ladies at the station take advantage of you?
Yeah, when they do that. You know, they all do it different ways, too.
Mm-hmm. Do they still use the stick?
Huh?
Do they still use the stick?
Only Miss Colette.
Only Miss Harris does?
Yeah, Miss Harris does it all the time with the stick. Stop it. Hits me. I laugh, though, because it doesn't really hurt bad. I feel fine, and then I blush, and I feel bad. I feel bad, sad, embarrassed, and I'm hungry.
Uh-huh.
Really hungry. So how about them bees, Eric?
Well, we've got most of them gone. There's still a few left over.
Do they fly in and out of your house all the time?
Yes, except for nighttime. They actually do go to bed.
Nighttime is the right time.
The bees with your honey.
Yeah, the bees. When do you get the honey at night?
We actually, you can get it in the daytime. The bees were not aggressive at all when we
had a guy that works on the show, Mr. Burbank. He said all you have to do is blow this special kind of smoke on the bees.
Well, it depends on what kind of smoke you're talking
about. No, he blows. It's good smoke. Smells weird. It smells different, but then the bees don't do anything. And then he takes the honey.
So Charlie has, I guess you should write it. Has the guy got the 20,000 bees out of his house?
He said he got them all except for a couple, and they're still there.
Okay, all right, well then.
Mr. Watley sometimes feels my shame.
Fez?
Yeah.
Fez feels your shame?
I don't call him that.
What do you call him?
Marie.
Well, you know Fez intimately.
Yeah.
Fez Marie Watley.
I'll do stuff for him.
Oh. What do you do for Fez?
Stuff.
Stuff what? Stuff what where?
Stuff.
Stuff? Are you the stuffer or the stuffy?
No. No, I just, I clean him up. Uh-huh. I clean him before the show.
You clean him.
Before his show.
Uh-huh.
You clean him. I wash him.
You wash Fez before
I do. I wash him real good.
You ever wash him like a cat? You ever give him a tongue bath? Charlie?
At his house, I use his treadmill.
What?
And then we wash together. Because you're always supposed to wash up after you use exercise machines.
Okay, that's right.
News here, I think.
Hey, Eric.
We're owning a radio.
Is he gone?
No, he's still there.
Eric, I want to thank you very much.
Charlie, hold on.
For coming on the show. He is.
People.
Time to go now.
He made it up.
Bye-bye.
Buzz, hold
thank
on.
You. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, goodbye, Charlie.
Bye, Charlie.
Can you say I love you, Charlie?
I love you, Charlie.
Thanks for being on the show.
I love you, Eric. Thanks for being on the show.
Man of 20,000. Man of 20,000 bees.
Good luck with them bees.
Thanks.
And good luck with your bees, Charlie.
Oh, my bees are fine.
Hey, Buzz.
Look at them. I got the grass skirt on.
Oh, Charlie, no. Put that down.
Look at the bees.
Close that.
Fez's bee.
What? What?
Fez's bee.
No,
yeah.
We will be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
You have no brain.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Thank you, Sonny. Well, that'll just about do it for today. But we have one more segment for the best of. And then I'll see you tomorrow, okay? Remember yesterday, the Man Manual? Well, it's the Man Manual Part 2 on the best of Don and Mike.
And oh, we did find the Brian Wilson tape.
Oh, good. Or not. The original one?
Yeah.
The one that during his sandbox period.
Right.
When he was performing.
Yeah. I'm going to go meet this guy next week.
You have a job to do. You also have to recognize reality.
That's
and reality right. Is... When he talks, he sounds like the Caddyshack guy. And there was a time when he performed, and he sounded like that tape that we have.
I'm going to see if my kid is awake.
We're sorry. Your call did not go through.
Of course it does. What time is it? 4:40?
Yes.
It should be up.
Good.
He worked last night, I guess, till about 11.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me the old ringy dingy. He's been good like that.
Good.
Boy, he's good like that.
No one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Let me try a song.
I'm going to play the, this is, he's also, is he a fan of Brian Wilson or does he just like it?
How do you do? How you do?
You like his message?
I do.
Yeah, what a trolley.
To page this person, press 5 now. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
I love this gag.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. Listen, you've never been funnier than you've been this morning. Either that or I'm all goofy on Pop-Tarts.
Message erased. At the tone, please re-record your message. At the end of your message, press 1.
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes. Yeah. Lumpy and tasteless.
If you are satisfied with your message,
yes.
Press 1. To send your message with normal delivery, press 1. Thank you. Your message has been sent.
Thank you. Goodbye. Okay, so He's not there. He would get a big kick out of this tape.
Right.
He's going with me to the Brian Wilson show. Anyway, here he is. My hero.
Hey, you're a big fan.
I swear to Christ I am.
I know you are.
I know you are. No question.
I'm complicated.
Yes.
Just like you, Mike. And Avril Lavigne. The three of us are complicated.
Complicated. I saw a picture of Avril Lavigne in one of the tabloids coming out of a bar.
Good looking, skank.
She is like me.
The Brian Wilson
Day. It was a really fun show. A real intimate kind of...
We had a good time that night. It was really a very small crowd, but it was very intimate, you know. So I got off on the intimacy of it. It was really fun.
Do you prefer an intimate kind of a smaller crowd when you're playing live or one of the bigger houses?
I like the small ones. It's easier to sing to, and I get them.
Well, see, I thought we were going to play Bob Moran.
No. We've got that.
We do?
We've got... Good. And now that I'm thinking about it, mm-hmm. I'm going to wait till after I see him. It's just...
You're going to wait to play the Barbara Ann Bill after you see him? That makes sense.
I'm going to wait to play the whole thing, the documentary, and then all of our cuts.
We couldn't even just get a split second.
No. You know why, Mike?
Why?
Something I got right here.
A heart.
It's called the heart. Thank you, Rob.
Okay. Okay.
You don't just do it just to have with him.
I'm glad I can fill that role.
I truly am.
Yeah, you know, I really want to hear it.
What, the Brian Wilson thing?
Yeah, I really do.
Well, you know what I really wanted to hear?
Shut up!
Oh, you shut up!
Shut up!
Okay. Last week, I'm sorry, earlier this week.
Yes.
We had the thing at Glamour Magazine.
Yes.
The article, the...
Owner's Manual for Men, sort of.
Owner's Man.
The Man Manual.
Right.
That's it. And there were so many things that we did not get to. It's the catch-up day here, the last day of the week, mm-hmm. so... let me see. And again, this is a manual that's going to be in an upcoming Glamour magazine.
Glamour magazine.
Telling women, you know, how screwed up men are, and all men want to do is bang you, and then they just want to leave you, and this is the way to find the good man.
Yeah, the survey, when you read those questions, those statements, obviously written by women.
Right.
Women so, write for that magazine.
So now here, again, under the headline of Glamour magazine's manual... They say these are secrets that men don't want you to know.
Okay.
The six ways that men prepare for a date that's going to involve more than just dinner.
Oh, okay.
Meaning...
So they want to do it.
Yeah, and this guy's going to jump your bones.
Right.
He's going to do these six things.
All right.
Number one, push-ups.
Yes.
This is stupid.
Wait, I'm confused here. He'll say that he's done push-ups?
No. These are things that he's going to do. He's not going to tell you.
Oh, okay.
But they're going to. You're going to find out why.
Push-ups.
Because he will want his muscles to be as tight as possible before he takes you out.
Right.
If you see a man with gigantic biceps, be aware.
Yeah. That's funny.
Number two, he won't tell you this. He'll take a shot of liquor, especially before a first date. If he is planning on having sex with you, his nerves are jacked up. Odds are the plans for the evening rest on you. If you smell liquor on his breath, run.
Wow. Well, come on, that's ridiculous. I'd do that before a first date, whether I wanted to have sex or not.
Now, here's another thing a man will do to prepare for a date when he's just out for sex.
Mm-hmm.
He'll listen to a happy song. Now you would think...
This is so obviously written by women. It's so ridiculous.
You would think, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with the guy listening to a happy song? Mm-hmm. I love you, you love me. A man will not listen to a romantic song before a date because that messes with his emotions and takes him out of his comfort zone. Remember, he's after you. He's going to listen to happy songs. He's going to listen to something that puts him... in a good enough mood to get you.
Well, the password is somebody's thinking too much.
There it is. And here's a happy song.
Yeah.
What you're cooking for little granny? What you're cooking for little granny?
Yeah.
What for supper? What do you got?
Gonna get some tonight.
Let me take a peek in my pot.
Oh, yeah.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
I'm ready.
Also, now, how they would know that you're doing this unless they had hidden cameras, I don't know. Another thing that guys do, just want to bang you. Before he goes out on a date with you, mm-hmm. he will check his wallet repeatedly before you arrive. It will be his nightmare to run out of money.
Oh, yeah.
So if he doesn't have OCD, he will check his wallet over and over. Please note that he will have money in his pocket and credit cards in his pocket. He will have nothing in his wallet. Because if he decides you will not be his type, he will pull out his wallet and say, look, I've left all of my credit cards at home.
Okay, this has gone beyond being written by women to being written by women that are using their own personal experience.
Well, that's crazy. Negative experience.
Number five. Now, this is the one that really blows my mind, because you would do this if you're going out, you know, just with someone you just wanted to, you want to look decent.
Just going out for a normal evening. Yes, same with a shot of liquor.
This is special grooming.
And push-ups.
Special grooming. Now, you know the guy is out to get you. Uh-huh. Yeah. And by get you, I mean he wants to get you in the sack. Eyebrow plucking, ear hair checking, and shoe shining. These are the things that are your tip-offs that this man is just after your, you know.
He practices hygiene. That's what
the word is, Brazilian.
Oh. Is that too much preening?
He knows. He knows that you will be spending the next hour to 90 minutes looking directly at him.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to size him up as he prepares accordingly.
That's why, watch out for the man who's going to pluck his eyebrows.
Now, the sixth thing that a man does to prepare for a date, and how they know this, again, I don't know, and this is only, not just preparing for a date, but when he wants to get some,
that's right,
some poontang, psychs himself up. Every man like this will give himself some sort of a pep talk. Usually along the lines of, well, she's agreed to go out with me, mm-hmm. so she must like me. If she likes me, she'll go to bed with me.
What's he doing this in the mirror?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you're a pretty man, brother.
Well, he's plucking.
You're a pretty man.
Then we have, let's move on now. Things that any man can be taught about relations.
Here we go.
And things that he can never be taught.
Relationships or just hot,
relations.
Steamy relations.
This is all just about sex.
Sex.
Five things that any man, no matter how knuckle-dragging he is, can be taught about sex relations.
All right.
One, hygiene. You must tell.
You're not going to believe this.
I jump off. You must tell this man, parentheses, you are thinking of sleeping with, that you love the touch and smell of his smooth, clean skin. He will quickly catch on. Number two, you can teach him this.
Hello, Larry. What are you enjoying for lunch today?
Post-coital etiquette. After you're done, you have full authority to tell him how long he has before you watch TV or check voicemails.
This is for men?
This, you can teach him this. These are things you can teach. The guy that wants to.
So the guy, after you do it, the guy has to have a certain amount of time before he gets to watch TV?
After you're done, the woman now has full authority to tell the man how long he has to wait before he can watch TV, check voicemails, and do things like that. It says you can train a guy to do this.
Okay.
The third thing you can train him to do.
That fits into the cuddling part.
How to kiss.
David.
Men do not know how to kiss. Take charge and guide him. Perhaps he'll adapt.
Oh, God.
Number four.
This is like if you want a man like the Gimp.
This is Rip Taylor. I will be at the Metroliner tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Washington, D.C.
Yes. The tape that works in any circumstance.
You can teach the man, let me see, how, when, and where to touch you. Most men don't know the first thing about truly satisfying a woman. You've selected him. Now help him. Put your hand on top of his. You'll have to show him by example. Maybe he'll remember on his own next time.
Where was that spot?
And number five thing that you can teach any man about relations.
Yeah.
Which fantasies not to share. tell him that you don't want to hear anything involving real people. Like your best friend. Like what guy is going to meet a chick and while you're having sex say, yeah, this sex is fantastic. And where's your friend Mary Lou at right now?
You think she'd join us next time?
Okay, and conversely, now here are three things that the man you're going to sleep with that you've decided is acceptable.
Right.
You can never teach him.
Okay.
About sex. ESP. Men are stupid about sex. You have to tell them what you want, where you want, and how you want it. Or he'll just guess blindly.
Because we're so damn dumb.
That's now, funny. Here's another thing that we men can never be taught. How to make better faces. When he approaches his moment of relaxation, his facial expression isn't his fault.
Hurrah!
This is something that happens to men. Sadly, it's beyond their control.
Sadly.
Yes. And then the number three thing that he can never be taught is simply his smell. And then, right?
He smells like a boar.
Right. Most men don't smell well. Hey, that rhymes. Most men don't smell well.
Mm-hmm.
If your chosen doesn't smell good to you naturally, he never will. Let him go.
Well, why can't he put on some stuff? Like spray, that body spray that the kids like so much.
Helps the band first. But.
I'm just telling you, just cut him slack on his...
No. How about drums? An instrument everybody loves. We have beautiful drums instruments like in the Polycase. Listen to this. Bass drum.
He's got some slack on his face.
Crescendo.
Right. That guy knows how to get
hi-hat when it is closed.
Tom-tom.
And when it is open.
Tom-tom.
A crescendo. And small drum called tom-tom.
Tom-toms.
But no matter what, you will never get rid of his B.O.
Now,
so learn to rub it.
Oh, God, do I have time for this? Okay. Five keys to winning an argument with any man, no matter how stupid he is.
Take notes.
One, only argue when you're sober. He'll be way better at shutting you down, running logical circles around you, and preying on your tendency to get emotional. Number two, oh, you're going to love hearing this one, Mike. Channel your inner lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
As he lays out his arguments, sit there, listen, and at the same time, formulate an airtight response.
Wow, this is pure man-hater stuff.
Propaganda,
right here.
Yeah.
Number three, don't be passive-aggressive. If you think that sulking and being standoffish is going to get the point across to this stupid guy, you should have asked more questions about your project. It won't work. He'll just think you're being randomly moody. Stupid men don't respond well to passive-aggressive.
I like stupid men. I think that's really the continuing theme in this.
Number four, the key to winning an argument with a man. Thank you, Glamour Magazine. Think about what's really bothering you.
Yeah.
Please. Don't argue with him because he's there.
Don't regard his feelings.
That's not fair. If you're really bothered by a parking ticket, a problem, or whatever, get away from him. Go to the gym.
Because remember, he's stupid.
Go out with your friends. Clear your head. And whatever you do, don't apologize.
He will not be able to please you. He smells bad, and he's stupid.
That's right.
And then here's the one that is just the funniest. The fifth key to winning an argument with any man, no matter how stupid he is, read How to Win Friends and Influence People. Yes, ladies, it's practical for this situation. Learn how to appeal to your stupid man by figuring out what he wants to hear and then use that to get your agenda across.
Wow.
Hey,
yeah.
Pretty good handbook.
Fantastic, ladies. Good luck, Glamour Magazine.
God, hey, there's too much. I mean, we're running way too late today. I guess next week, this is like a 45-page handbook.
And wow. It's all the common thread. Men are stupid.
Things to look out for in his medicine cabinet to tell you that he's a bad guy.
You thought about that the other day.
Right? Well, of course, tampons. I mean, if he's got tampons. If you've just started with them, these are not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Whose are they? Body glitter. Now what? Now, listen, hold on a second.
Homo.
That's when you look at the woman and go, it's mine. It is mine. Or am I supposed to keep it?
And then there's all this other hair products, creams. Don't like, if you open up his medicine cabinet, there's any kind of cream in there.
Why?
No.
That's crazy.
He should know creams don't work.
All I got in there is Goody's headache powders.
If he's got creams, it means he's so desperate.
Oh, that kind of cream.
No, but it doesn't say, like, stay
aroused. Yeah.
It just says cream products.
I don't know what the ladies get around and they'll have, like, a few martinis and write this. Is that the way it works?
Sure.
Anyway, that's from Glamour Magazine. And we're only on the get-go stages.
Wow. Hey, why are you leaving? I found cream. I found cream and body glitter next to the tampons.
I know before our day tonight, you checked your wallet repeatedly. You psyched yourself up. And damn you, did you listen to a happy song?
I don't know why we're going to have sex. You don't know how to please me anyway. That's what the magazine says.
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.